All right, let's wrap. So for this episode of the bonus episode of the Scotchcast, we were planning to do a session where we all sat down and talked about all three press conferences back to back to back, but things fell through, not everyone could get together, whatever. So what's happening instead is I did catch myself and Duren's reactions to the Microsoft press conference at the start of the day, which I wasn't actually expecting to do because he has work and all that kind of stuff, so that's fun. And I also managed to catch a bunch of us, like Squiddle, Shimboy, Thurbleton, and myself, I think it was, reacting to the Sony press conference. So in this episode of the Scotchcast, I'm going to be putting those two together, and in between each, I'll be having a little bit where I rap about things that have come to light over day one since those reactions from us, which came immediately after the press conferences. So for this first segment here, in the case of Microsoft, I will say that it's very important to note, hearing the piece of audio I'll be putting after this opening, that Microsoft did a great job with their press conference, in my opinion. Adam Sessler disagrees and some other people disagree, but I think that aside from the price, they actually showed some really awesome games. And if you're out there and feeling maligned because you are siding with Microsoft in this, that's fine. You're not a bad person. Killer Instinct, I think it looks awesome. Titanfall, I've warmed up to it as the day has gone along. So this, I'm talking on E3 day one. I don't know. I've seen a bunch of that footage. It seems cool, I guess. I'm not into shooters, but yeah, sure. So I can definitely see why you'd want the Xbox One. And I'm happy that I was able to capture our reactions immediately after the Microsoft press conference, because they were positive. We did give it pretty decent scores, mainly affected by the fact that price did seem really high, especially for Europeans. So with that, I'm going to cut straight to Microsoft. I don't have any particular additional news or corrections/clarifications to add to this segment of the recording, because to be honest, well, you'll hear it after Sony. Jesus. But yeah, okay. Putting Microsoft here. Check you out after this recording.
$499. How are you doing, Duren?
Microsoft is insane.
I did not expect that at all. I didn't even expect them to announce price. I thought Sony was going to announce price. Like, I'm pretty sure Sony is going to announce price. By the way, yeah, for those listening, I'm probably going to be putting this at the end of the show for the Scotchcast for today. So this is me and Duren, because Duren can't make the actual recording for the Scotchcast. Live reactions, not really live, reactions immediately after the Microsoft press conference from both of us. Holy crap.
So the price thing, like what probably bugs me the most about that is probably one of the biggest reasons why they had to go to the $500 price tag is Kinect.
Yeah, Kinect.
Without Kinect, they could have at least gotten down to $449.
I could not believe it, because so many analysts were like, yeah, but Kinect is so cheap now because they've obviously streamlined it. They're building it into the console, so clearly they have to have their production all set up and shit, right?
Well, you're right, but they've made so many changes to it now, and this is not the same Kinect as playing. Now,
well,
so.
Clearly, because, well, okay, there was huge rumors of there being significant production line problems with the APU of the Xbox One, which is the central processing unit, which includes the CPU and GPU. And the main thing is, because of their RAM selection, they had to have a huge amount of on APU RAM, and that was entirely untested. It was essentially a customized part for Microsoft. And AMD is having significant problems producing those in quantity. So it's very possible that, because the three solutions for that was either they come out at a low price and ditch the faulty chips, or come out at a high price and produce more chips so that you have a larger amount of non-faulty chips, so you can get the amount of consoles out there. Because it's launching in 22 countries, right? Which is insane. Mm-hmm. And I think it's day one in 22 countries, November 2013. So I think they went for the second option. They saw that they were having production problems, but they were like, no, we need to get a lot of consoles out there. We need them out there this year. So they're eating the cost of faulty APUs from AMD. And I think that is why they're looking at the $499 price. Because,
well, see, that's the thing, is they're not eating the cost. The consumer is eating the cost.
Yeah.
That's the bullshit part of this, is that because they fucked up, they couldn't get what they needed to get, we're paying for it. Or essentially, the people who are buying the system at launch are paying for it.
Yeah, because
we,
like,
aren't necessarily the ones paying for it.
Pactor was like $399. He estimated like the bill of materials to be like $250 or $299 for the bill of materials. So he's like, $399 makes sense for the console. $499 is crazy, but the crazier part was the European conversion rates, because €499 and £429.
Good lord.
Europe is going insane. Like, people doing the conversion, it's like $650 for
you. Yeah, I was gonna say, rightfully so they are. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Oh my god. I didn't
know. When this happens on like a game, people already kind of get up in arms about it. You know, again, you know, pretty rightfully so, because these companies, if they're going to be, you know, worldwide, if they're going to offer worldwide availability, they need to actually go through the effort of, you know, doing the proper conversions and offering them at, you know, proper prices, rather than just like they're doing here. They're just a complete lazy, you know, kind of the Steam way of doing it, of just like everything's the same price. Just slap a different
a dollar on it. On there. Well, Steam doesn't even, because, like, for example, Steam's kind of worse if you're just talking about games, because games are like, for example, $60 in the US. The Australian dollar is worth more, but it's $80 in Australia. So it's like Steam is worse in some ways, but for a I think this is the largest price different, like, conversion rate I've seen in a console launch, because the PS3 was like £450, $600, right? This is way closer. There's only a £70 difference between the dollar, like the number amount between two entirely different currencies. Most forums are down at the moment, but I assume when we finally look at them, it's going to be I think this is their. I think that was their $599 moment. Like,
no, we.
I didn't expect that to happen, but yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, don't worry about your kid. Yeah. Fucking who cares? We'll leave that in for you viewers at home. This is why we usually record late at night. Duren has a cool kid, but yeah. Nice. Wow. What are your thoughts about the conference in general?
I mean, as promised, they showed a lot of games. They showed pretty much all games.
Yep.
They did a good job of, like, not completely forgetting the fact that we do still have the 360 for the remainder of this year. But they the right amount of time. Like, they showed off, like, three games for it that all looked you know, interesting, and then moved on.
What did you think of the redesign?
Fucking ugly, and they didn't even talk about the price for it.
I thought it looked kind of cool. Like, I don't like the current 360 design because it looks like an Alienware PC but shrunk down. I kind of like the idea of a more hi-fi component looking 360. That said, I already own a 360 Elite, so it's not like I'm going
to
go...
Breaking for our live thing here, Zoo Tycoon is coming to Xbox One.
Dude, they mentioned...
Your zoo, your animals, your way.
They mentioned more smart glass than they did Kinect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they said they were not going to talk about Kinect.
Did they? I thought they were just going to not talk about PC.
Oh, that was actually why
TV.
Game Trailers had the sports or the Kinect sports thing
right
on their pre-show, because they weren't going to talk about it during the actual conference.
I think my tally at the end of it was, let's see, including Black Tusk's like thing and LOL Master Chief. We'll talk about that in a second. But we will certainly talk about that. But let me have a look. They showed 10 games before that, 6 new IP. Witcher 3, Dice, Below, which looks really nice, actually. Like, Below was my second favorite game. Third favorite game shown. Fourth, maybe.
Before we get started going into actual like names of
stuff. I just want to say before that, though, yeah, so we have about 12 to 13 games shown from Microsoft Game Studios specifically.
And, okay, I wanted to point that out, actually.
Of those, it was, I think, seven new IPs. Or six or seven new IPs. So that we've pretty much seen everything they announced in terms of exclusives from Microsoft Game Studios, except for maybe one or two titles.
Because there were supposed to be, according to Microsoft, coming into this, there were supposed to be 15 games or 15
exclusives from Microsoft Game Studios. Eight new IPs.
It sounds like one of their exclusive new IPs didn't show.
Yeah, at least one. They didn't specifically. Say all of the studio productions on all the games, so I couldn't keep it like a really accurate count, but it sounds like one or two have wasn't shown.
Yeah, I would guess it seems like one new IP didn't show and one exclusive didn't show.
Yeah, or like one or two new exclusives, because we couldn't get really handle on who was being produced by Microsoft Game Studios. But yeah, like,
true.
It seemed so. If that was their magical 15 exclusives, like that encompassed those 15 exclusives, I'm only interested in like two of them, and they're coming.
I'm actually surprised how interested I am in like the number of them I'm actually interested in.
Which ones? Do you want to go through in order? Because we might take a while. Like, how much time do you have?
No, I got time.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do that then.
I may take a break here in about 40 minutes.
Sure, whatever. Let's do it live. I was not expecting to have Durin on the show today, so I'm happy.
Talk amongst yourself for just a minute.
It's just me. All right,
pause. Talk amongst yourself for a
minute. No, I'll just pause the podcast. All right, we're back. Whilst watching this live like PS4 Thief demo, which looks pretty cool, we're back. I'm with Durin. What's up, Durin? How's your son doing? Is he cool?
He's doing better now.
Awesome. So we want to go through the conference. Is that what we're doing now? Are we going to go old school in this shit?
Yeah. Well, because I want to make sure we don't skip over any of the big games. And I will say, sure. I didn't write anything down until it got to
I did. Don't one. Worry. Don't worry. All right. So.
Because as far as I'm concerned, this generation of consoles are dead to me.
Oh man. No, I'm still hoping, man. PS4. PS4 can still do it. PS4 can still do it for me.
No. I mean, this current generation of consoles.
Oh yeah, like, yes, true.
That's really dead to me at this point. Other than GTA 5, and Last of Us. Those are the last two games I care about for this generation.
Fuck the Last of Us. Anyway.
Okay.
So starting with the GT pre-show, let's have a look. No, I've one more page. Man, I made so many pages of notes. All right. So the first thing they showed in GT pre-show was the PlayStation Vita game. Destiny of Spirits or whatever. That looked cool. Moving on. Kinect Sports.
That was a free-to-play Vita game, said, right?
Yeah. It looked cool. Japanese art style. It seemed like a board game kind of RPG thing.
You know, maybe that's the direction the Vita needs to go.
Whatever.
Because it's so expensive to buy the system and there's nothing good to play for it. Like, just go.
Just release crazy.
Free-to-play games. So at least I don't have to buy games for it.
Exactly. Like, PS Plus and free-to-play games. That everything sounds cool with that system. But it's good. It's crazy that. All right. So the first thing we saw all day was a Sony game free-to-play on the PS Vita, and it seemed like a pretty niche title that only people like me would be excited for, because I like those kind of board gamey kind of things on console.
Okay, it was a board gamey. Okay.
You couldn't see the board itself, but it was like you're arranging your characters in like a formation, and they were going up against in some form of digitalized combat with the other guy, like enemies, and you couldn't really get a feel for how the gameplay would be, but you definitely got a feel for like what they were going for, and it was just like a Japanese board gamey kind of game, similar to. No, I can't think of anything similar to it at the moment. But whatever, let's move on.
Like a Disgaea or something?
Kind of, but it's like, I don't think the pieces move. It's just that, like, it's more about how you arrange them with respect to each other as the overall strength of your party. And then it compares that to the end. Well, that's what I got from it. But it seems cool. It's free, so whatever. I'm probably going to check it out at least when it comes out. So the first thing they showed For Xbox, on the other hand, was Kinect Sports Rivals, which is
yeah.
So
that Rock Climber was a dick.
So that's one of 15 Microsoft Studios games. Sure. Okay. Moving on rapidly from there, the press conference begins and started. Talk about starting the show with a showstopper.
Real quickly, we should point out that Kinect Sports Rivals, that was the big Rare unveiling. That's what Rare has been working
on. No, because they also showed Killer Instinct. They showed two Rare games. Right. Yeah. But starting the show with a showstopper, by far, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I'm calling it now, Metal Gear Solid 5 Game of Show E3 2013. I can't see anything looking. I was not interested in MGS5 because of Big Boss, but
I just realized that I actually didn't write anything down about Metal Gear 5 because I was just watching the whole thing.
The graphics were insane. That cannot be current gen. That's not current.
I was really confused because whenever I was watching the intro to that part. With Snake and whoever it was he was riding with on the horses.
It's Ocelot. It was Ocelot.
And I knew this was Kojima. And I was like, is Kojima like working with Rockstar to make the next Red Dead?
It looks.
Because they hadn't shown Snake's face at that point.
It was the first of two trailers where the main character has like a hood on at the start.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard the music, I knew it was MGS5. So I was like, holy shit. The moment I saw it, I had this like deep sense of dread at the bottom of my stomach that MGS5 would be a next-gen exclusive for the Xbox One. And I was just like, the whole time I was loving the trailer, open world stealth, waiting for like time to pass so you can either stealth at night or stealth during the day. Like, everything they showed in terms of like gameplay elements, rolling, active rolling, hiding behind your horse, everything looked really cool for a Metal Gear game. Like the actual advances to how you play Metal Gear. And I was so pumped, but I was terrified the whole time. And then at the end, they didn't announce anything exclusive for Xbox at all. So I was just like over the moon. I'm so happy about that trailer. It looked so cool. It totally sold me a Metal Gear when I wasn't expecting to be sold a Metal Gear like ever again. So,
yeah, that's how I felt too. Like I haven't cared about a Metal Gear since the original Metal Gear Solid, and I am so stoked to see what that game is.
Man,
that looked really, really interesting.
It looks so good. Anyway, Game Show 2013. Call it now. We'll see. Only like Final Fantasy Versus could probably top it for me if that game is coming to PS4. If it's on PS3, MGS5, current Game of Show. Well,
you know, or whatever the new Final Fantasy is they're announcing.
I don't have trust in them from Agni's philosophy and shit as to whether a new Final Fantasy aside from Versus would be interesting. Whatever.
I only have trust in them in that like the big decision makers have left Square Enix.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Like the people I care about have left. There. Yeah, we'll see.
Like the combination of there's room for shakeup, and they are just like these games that are going to be coming out in the next year or so are going to be the first games you see coming from Square Enix where they are actually taking like Western game development.
Actually, you know what's really important?
And bringing that to the East.
No Square Enix at this Microsoft event. That is actually pretty interesting. I was expecting them to have a presence.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy 13 was a huge announcement for the original Xbox 360. So yeah, but nothing there. Anyway, so signing the show with Showstopper.
The conversion rate to yen to pay them off to be there.
Oh my god. Anyway, no. So I have like a shitload of notes for MGS5, but it summarizes to it looks awesome. Don Matrick walked on stage with Hideo Kojima, and Hideo Kojima did not announce anything exclusive to the Xbox One. That is awesome.
Yeah,
moving on.
It was just like, thanks for being here. All right.
Yeah, thanks for showing that game. It didn't even say running on anything. It was just, they just showed the game and moved on. I think that was clearly not current.
That was running on their Fox engine. They showed that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely running on a high-end PC, expect that to be its gen version.
Yeah, I'm expecting that to be the PS4 version or the Xbox One version, but they didn't announce a platform at all at this event. So it could be next-gen exclusive for PS4. We don't know yet. Sony hasn't happened yet. We're doing this like relatively live. All right, so then they showed the Xbox 360 stuff. Yousef came out, the guy I least like of every single one of Microsoft presenters. He shows the new design of the Xbox 360. I think it looks cool. Durin. They announced.
They designed it after the Xbox One.
Yeah.
And I think the Xbox One looks boring and plain as fuck.
Yep.
And so, like, that new 360, same thing.
Yeah. I think I actually enjoy, because it was standing on its side. So it's like what the Xbox One should have been. In terms of, I thought it looked cooler. I thought it looked better than the Xbox One. Yeah, exactly. Like, how do you know if it's comparable to a cable box if it stands outside? They announced some free games, I think, tied to Xbox Live for it.
So yeah, they basically adopted the PlayStation Plus thing where they're going to give you 2 free games every month if you are an Xbox Live Gold member. But they were very specific to say, leading up to the launch of the Xbox One.
Yeah,
which means the Xbox One comes out, do not expect to get Xbox One games for free with Xbox Live Gold.
Well, to be fair, like, how PlayStation does it is they release relatively old games. So on launch day, I don't expect PlayStation Plus to have free games on PS4 either. No, but
it'll probably be very Vita heavy at that point.
Yeah, but on the other hand, PS4 has, like, PlanetSide 2 announced. It has Warframe announced. It has a bunch of full-fledged free-to-play games already announced for that system.
Xbox One got World of Tanks.
No, the Xbox 360 got World of Tanks.
Oh, that's right. That's not even Xbox One.
Xbox One. All right, so let's keep going. So, yeah, the next thing they showed was World of Tanks. So Xbox 360, I could not give less of a fuck. It's probably going to play better on PC. It's already on PC. It's free-to-play there. Rumors are that even though this game is free-to-play, you still have to be a gold sub to play it, obviously, because it's online play.
Yes, that's not rumors. They show that on screen.
Yeah, so like, shrug, I guess. Hey, want to pay Microsoft to play a free to play game? No. Then we have, let's see, they showed a game which was like an indie platformer, and I could not give a fuck, so I didn't even write down its name.
I don't remember that one.
They showed Dark Souls, which is cool.
Oh, I know the platform you're talking about. That platform actually did look kind of interesting, but I don't even remember what it was called.
Not my type of game. It had a kid voice acting part of it. So fuck that. I don't want a game with kid voice actors in it. Like, unless it's a Remedy game, but we'll get there. So Dark Souls was shown. It continues to look absolutely awesome.
Continues to look like Dark Souls.
After feeling really estranged after finishing Dark Souls and not sure if I loved it or hated it, I'm gonna buy that game day one. They got me, man. They got me. Right, so moving on to Xbox One, so things that matter. First thing they showed was Rise. What do you think?
Well, my notes for that are too many QTEs, all shine, no apparent depth.
I thought when it opened, they opened it in the worst way possible, because the stuff they showed after that with, like, the shield stuff, which is obviously pretty stupid and not something that's going to happen very often in the game, but like that, calling in arrow strikes, calling in trebuchet shots, and then, like, just really slick, smooth hand-to-hand, like, combat. I thought they looked really good. I hope that comes to PC, because,
well, yeah, no, that's the thing. It visually, it looks, you know, really, really good. But I feel like there is with at least specifically with the combat, like, they didn't show a whole lot past that.
Yeah.
But with the combat they showed,
the quick time stuff,
there's like no fucking depth to that game.
It's weird because I think, because in some points he triggered that quick time stuff when someone was close by, but someone was like, it felt like something that was, the second enemy was just outside the range of the that attack. So it seems to me like it's this kind of attack that you can trigger when enemies are close to you, and then everything really close to you will be part of that instant kill quick time game thing.
Well, so it just bothers me because, like, I feel like, you know, it's It's the lazy way of doing video game combat. Like, you couldn't bother fucking programming in some actual combos or something.
Maybe, but it's also, like, comparable to Assassin's Creed. Because Assassin's Creed, once you get the first kill, I love the whole mashing square to keep killing. I just keep on killing. This is kind of like an evolution of that.
I feel like it's different. It's not an evolution of that because
it's a devolution.
This is an evolution of that the same way that the follow command being over your commander's name or head on Call of Duty is like an evolution of, you know, the GPS arrow. Like, it's just it's done for players who are too dumb to play the game.
Yeah,
and
I guess,
it's making bad assumptions about the player.
If they had an option to replace that with the killstreak stuff from Assassin's Creed, I think that would be way cooler.
Yeah. Like, I would much rather be able to just mash the same button over and over again than to have the game tell me, okay, now you press X, okay, now you press Y, and we're going to slow everything down to make sure that you can get this right.
Yep. But they using that slow-mo, that game looks... Okay, so the first time I saw it, I wrote down, how do they find a way to make Rome look gritty, gray, and shit? Right? Because it opens and it's just this gray, gritty Rome with like...
They make it look like a Normandy invasion.
Yeah, it just looks like a World War II game. Like, it's just like, I don't know how they killed it for me. But then as it went on with like a dude with an arrow sticking out of his eye and like stuff like that, I was sold. If that's coming to PC and it's a good game, I'm going to buy it. So.
It definitely looks like 100 times better than it did when they first showed it off. Absolutely. As like a Kinect only prototype thing that you could raise your shield and shield bash.
Yeah.
And that was about the extent of it. Like, it definitely, it's a game now.
Yeah.
And I was glad to see button prompts show up only because then it meant, okay, this is not Kinect only like it originally was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nothing about that game though.
In fact, it doesn't look like it has much Kinect at all anymore. Like, maybe like the shield stuff and maybe like the calling in strikes might be Kinect, but they showed like R2 and R1 or whatever you call it, like prompt on there. So you can play it entirely without Kinect now. So,
but I don't know, like to some extent, it still to me felt like a game I shouldn't have to pay money for.
If they somehow, in
some respects, seemed like a tech demo, not a game.
It's a Crytek game, right?
Yes.
So like, I'm not convinced that Crytek can make a compelling single player game. So there was no mention of multiplayer, which I think is exciting because I want to return to full fledged, full price, single player only experiences. But I'm not convinced they can do it. If they could do it, if they can essentially give me Gladiator the game, that sounds amazing. But I'm not sure Crytek would be the developer who can actually pull that off.
I feel like would have helped that video a lot. Would have been. At least just a smidgen of actual exposition somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Something absolutely.
I mean, this is more than just a tech demo. There is a story here. There's a narrative. There is a game to be played.
Yeah, but
right now, I don't see that. I see
like,
a tech demo.
They gave the general a name. He was actually giving commands on the field, which is like a first for a long time in terms of like a character action game like this would be. There's potential for there to be meat to the story. I just don't know. They didn't demonstrate there, and Crytek has not demonstrated in the past that they can nail that, so we'll see. Moving on, we have Insomniac showing us Sunset Overdrive.
No, hang on. You skipped Killer Instinct.
They did this weird thing with this press conference where they had like a huge game demo, and then like a trailer, and then the next game. And they didn't like... pause.
Yeah. And the game that they just kind of like blew over, like, oh yeah, by the way, you know, this is coming out, check out this trailer, and then move on. It was Killer Instinct.
It was one of the coolest looking games of the conference, like, it, in my opinion.
Well, not only that, like, it's one that people have been like
clamoring
dying for years, for generations at this point.
Yeah. And I thought,
and, like, there were rumors that they were going to try to make one. You know, they filed for the renewal of the copyright and then didn't get the renewal. And so there's like, well, does that mean we'll never see another Killer Instinct? Like, who knows? Rare's doing all these shitty games now. Like, is that all they are now? And and then they finally announce an actual game coming out of Rare.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, and then we're gonna, you know, pull Insomniac on here now. It's like, wait, hang on, guys, give us more than like 3 seconds
exactly
of footage of this game.
It was so like they came back later, but it was just weird that a game that a lot of people were so hyped for, and something they totally hyped up after their shitty reveal event. was just, like, glossed over. And even though it came back, it was glossed over in, like, both instances of it being shown.
Yeah.
And the second time it was actually played. So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, the second time it was actually played. And then even then, it was literally only being shown off strictly
at this stage, at this point in the conference, the only thing I got from that Killer Instinct stuff was, okay, it looks like Street Fighter 4, but with Killer Instinct people. Because it has, like, this weird, like, stylized art style.
Yeah.
They don't look realistic, but
real similar to Street Fighter 4.
Yeah. Which is, I think, is a good thing, because if you make a Killer Instinct game, you have to make it competitive with modern fighting games, and that's something you need to. But my main takeaway from that is, I really like the Killer Instinct song. It's cool. Like, this rock song, and it was like a throwback to, like, the 80s and 90s of gaming, where rock was still a thing for gaming themes.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't kicked ass.
A lot of Killer back in the day. I did play some, but I wasn't one of those fanatics that was.
I'm not sure, because I played a bunch of Killer Instinct back in the day, but I don't know if this was. I can't remember if this is actually their theme song at all. Like, I'm not sure.
I wasn't one of those that was, like, necessarily clamoring for this game. I didn't play a lot of Killer Instinct back in the day, but it was still exciting to see this. It was good to see this series come back while fighting games are still relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, we've only got a few more years before they fall back into obscurity again.
And I want to reiterate, like, at this point of the press conference, starting with MGS5, doing the cool, like, PlayStation Plus thing for 360, for what that's worth. Rise, which I thought was really cool. But Shinboy, on the other hand, you'll probably hear his thoughts in the actual recording when I get this up. He thought it would look, like, complete lame. I thought Rise looked cool, and I love the Killer Instinct song. At this point of the conference, I thought they were absolutely nailing it. I was like, holy shit.
I was really surprised. I'm like, wow, they're showing stuff off that I care about, and it's giving me reasons to maybe possibly want to buy one of these.
Yeah, so for me, the most depressing thing about the Killer Instinct stuff is I've already stated here and elsewhere that I'm putting my foot down. I will not be buying an Xbox One unless they change some of their policies. And I've talked about it before, so I'm not going to talk about it again here. But so it was really depressing to me to see the Killer Instinct, and it looked really good, and I like the song, and I know I can't buy that game. But as a person, like, standing outside the circle of my own feelings of the Xbox One, I thought at this point, I was like, shit, this is, like, the best conference Microsoft has done in years. Like, this is, like, holy shit, they're nailing it. So let's continue.
Yeah.
Insomniac, Sunset, Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive.
CG trailer, so, man.
I laughed because they are using the art style that Fuse originally had.
But with more color, like, even more color.
I'm just like, looking at this, like, well, you know, this looks, you know, pretty potentially interesting.
Yeah.
Until it's focus grouped to death.
Exactly. Like, it's so this looked like, so Fuse looked like all a callback to Overstrike. Let's just say looked like a callback to really old school, awesome spy action mixed with, like, Incredibles kind of fiction, and it looked really awesome, right? And then obviously end up as Fuse. This looks like Shaun of the Dead meets original Dead Rising meets shooters, and with a really cool, like, colorful art style.
Hang on, there were zombies in that game?
Well, they weren't zombies, but
so there were. Juavos in this game, then, right?
They looked like somewhat similar to the whatever you call them in Last of Us, like tickers or whatever.
Infected.
Yeah, they looked somewhat, because they were humanoids with, like, bulbous growths on them. But they seemed to be more like animalistic than a zombie. Maybe they're just monsters, but to me it looked like they were just zombies. Especially when it did the callback with a dude with this gun that shot records at the zombies. That's like a one-to-one callback to Shaun of the Dead. So I was like, okay, I don't trust Insomniac anymore because Fuse. They've never done an open world game before, so there's that. They have lied so hard about like the directions of the games, or well, not lied, but they've changed directions on games before, and this is the first time that they've really done a single, like, they've worked this closely with Microsoft Game Studios. So I have no idea how this game
Microsoft
is going to turn out.
Publishing this,
yeah, exactly, and like not EA, which I'm surprised about. So it's a Microsoft Game Studios game with Insomniac. In a crazy turn of fate where them switching sides from Sony, like Phil Harrison-esque turn of fate. I don't know how this game is going to be. It was a CG trailer. I am not convinced at all.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It was a CG trailer. It's open world, but it's multiplayer.
Yep.
There's parkour elements to it.
Yeah.
But again, like, it was all CG, so who knows what this game is going to turn out to be. Like, especially, again, given what Overstrike became with Fuse.
Yeah.
Literally, who knows what this game is going to turn out to be.
Who the fuck knows? I am entirely disinterested in that game, unless, like, they make some significant changes for, like, the enemy types and that kind of stuff, and it turns out to be cool, and it comes to PC. Like, that's the only... Those, like, multiple things have to happen before I even give me...
Well, that's the good part about both that and Killer Instinct is, you know, with those both being... produced by Microsoft,
they could come
to
PC.
May not be coming to PS4, but they could definitely come to PC. We've seen it in the past.
Yes, we have seen that in the past. So I'm hoping that Rise and this and Killer Instinct come to PC.
Rise, I'd be very surprised if Rise doesn't. I mean, it is Crytek after all.
Yeah, it's Crytek, man. So far so good. I think there is still, for people who still care about, like, the few people who still care about Insomniac, I think they're still doing a pretty good press conference at the moment. I personally just started like looking at Giant Bomb Chat to see what their reactions were during this part. So whatever. So winning the award for most wasteful usage of money at this press conference, aside from the money hats, Forza 5 with the McLaren rising from below the stage.
You know, I'd say it was somewhat like...
I thought it was funny.
It worked, I guess, as you say, like... I don't care about cars. I don't care about car games. I've never played a Forza game.
Yep.
The only car games I play are fucking like Burnout.
Uh-huh.
But like when they're talking about this car, there's only two in the world, you know, they're not even formula regulation, blah, blah, blah. And then the car rises from the stage and I was like, holy shit, they actually brought it here.
Yeah, I thought it was like somewhere in...
And then the game started and I walked away to go make my lunch.
It was like something in like the mid-90s kind of... It was like when gaming... had bigger aspirations than it does now. It's kind of like they're going cross media or like cross like industry in a way they haven't done for a long time. So I guess that's kind of cool. But I thought it was like seriously, just show me the game. And then they did show me the game, which is
And it's still Forza. It is 60 frames a second. They did specify like when they first came out that it was going to be 60 frames a second. Everyone was like, oh goddamn it, you know, this is... They're more worried about frames than they are resolution, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But that one, people only heard half the story at that point. It is 1080p, 60 frames.
1080p, 60. I've recently, on the previous episodes of the Lincoln Cast, I talked about how I chucked in Gran Turismo 5 to give myself an idea to be able to compare, because it's hard to compare driving games unless you actually can A-B them or see them side by side. So I did pop in Gran Turismo 5 just a couple, like last week, to get an idea of what like really good looking driving games look this generation. And I can say that Forza 5 does look really good, even by comparison to Gran Turismo 5. But like, I was paying attention, like specific attention during like the demo scene where it's like zooming in, like the car is in like a showroom. So the showroom stuff, that is clearly higher poly count and way higher detail levels than in-game. Because when it shows in-game, the steering wheel lost a lot of its resolution. The backgrounds, like the grass, still look like shit. Trees are less papery, but they're still they don't look that great. Hey, it's being shown in Grain Trails right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder.
Yeah,
But yeah, just it looks okay. Pretty good. I suspect that Drive Club will look way better, but we'll see. Whatever. We don't know. Moving on, because none of us really give a shit about Forza 5. Phil Harrison comes on stage. As the Sony guys are saying at the moment, our agent on the scene, working from the inside to bring Microsoft down. He came on the stage, and he was Phil Harrison. I think he's still smooth. I think
Okay, my biggest problem, though, was he came on stage and immediately started talking about how Microsoft has been the best at courting the indie development crowd. And I literally laughed out loud when he said that.
Yeah.
Literally laughed out. No one else is in my house but me and my son. I literally laughed out loud when he said that.
Like,
and then they're big, and then you know, he started talking about, you know, going into the Xbox One, that's not going to change, blah, blah, blah. And their big get for an Xbox One indie game to show was fucking Minecraft.
Minecraft is a big get, right? It's the biggest game, I think, one of the biggest games Xbox Live, but the amount
it was a big get for the 360, sure, but for the one,
like the level to which I did not
God
give
damn
a
it,
fuck,
I just called it that,
like. I, yeah, you did. Put down a dollar. Like, we have to have a tip jar equivalent for calling the Xbox One a one.
Sorry, for the X-Bone?
The X-Bone a one. So, I don't really care about Forza 5. And this even, like, went below that in terms of how much I cared about this.
Well, like, it would have been maybe, like, it'd have been funny at least if they would have like shown it off on Xbox One, but like installed one of the HD texture packs that you can download on the PC version. Yeah, like that would have at least I'd be like, okay, you know what, Microsoft, you got me. That was good.
Exactly.
But as it was like, yeah, this looks like Minecraft.
It looks like Minecraft running in 1080p, which I guess the 360 couldn't do, but like it's Minecraft, guys. It's fucking
yeah. But like your fucking MacBook Air could do.
Yeah, just move. They gave that too much time as it was. So whatever.
Yeah, they did.
Quantum Break was the next thing shown. No gameplay. I was really expecting gameplay. It was just was a CG. Well, they said it was running an engine, but it was clearly like a pre-rendered sequence.
Facial animations look good. Like they definitely step up from Alan Wake.
I don't know what to think of that game because they did confirm it has something to do with a TV show.
But it's weird because like your actions in the game are supposed to like reflect what you see on the TV show,
or like,
and then the
or
TV
like
show
adapt
stuff
or
might
change
something. How you play the game.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is like in order for that to even be possible, the TV show has to be like a part of the program, and like,
yeah,
you can watch the game you can play the game or you can watch the TV show. It's all one package.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of a choose your own adventure. Like based on the actions you made in your game, this next episode will play differently than it did maybe for your friend.
Yeah. Or like maybe the TV show is actually something they entirely do in pre-production, put on the disc, and then you're actually playing it or watching it in tandem. So it's all part
of
the
game. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you're not saying that they've released the TV show at the same time it launches. You're saying it's on the disc as well.
Yeah, I'm saying it's on. I didn't want to say disc because
they're not using
discs. Digital console, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all there together, and they just refilmed scenes three, four, or five.
Some of my favorite stuff from Alan Wake was the Night Springs stuff, or I forgot what it's called. I think it was Night Springs. That was great. Like,
yeah.
So again, I'm hoping this comes to PC. Like I'm not going to buy an X-Bone, so if this comes to PC, that's cool. I'm obviously going to wait for reviews because Remedy hasn't been 100%. We'll see. It wasn't gameplay. That was my main takeaway. Next. Okay. So one of my top games shown.
What the fuck is D4?
Sorry? You're breaking
up. What
the
fuck is D4?
It is. I don't care what D4 is. It is the next game by Swery65, so yeah, I'm sold.
Right, like fucking they got Swery on there. Like,
they got Swery.
Like going for a very specific crowd if they're getting Swery on there and like calling like, hey, we got him.
That was really cool and again depressing because I'm not going to be buying an Xbox One. Like I was like, dude, oh come on, Swery, because it was a Microsoft Studios game. It was on there, so this is being made by Microsoft. It's going to be exclusive to the Xbox One. Maybe PC, we don't know. I'm hoping to God it comes to PC.
Well, yeah.
But it was really stupid. Like, awesome in a lot of ways. Like, it was the dude in an aircraft, and he slapped around a bitch, and it was all like a cartoony art style.
Cool style.
Yeah, really good art style. At no point did they say it was in-engine or gameplay. It might have been just like concept footage. We're not sure. But it's Swery65, so for those of you out there who are still interested in Xbox One, high five, you got a pretty cool game. Like, that's probably going to be a pretty cool game. Next up, Project Spark, and I put in brackets.
Yeah, or why does this fucker have a tablet in his hand?
Or in my bracket, I wrote in all caps, Kinect lies. So like, I don't. So this is like the number. This is like the all bullet points game. It was for Xbox One exclusive, Microsoft Game Studios, Smart Glass, Kinect.
It's X1, Windows 8.
Windows 8. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Smart Glass. Yeah. Yeah. This Smart Glass. All the checkboxes.
Kinect. Like this is. And it was like the okay to summarize it, it's Little Big Planet in a 3D world with no personality, and yeah, I just that's it. Like that's what I wrote down. No personality, Little Big Planet 3D.
When they first started off the actual like level creation stuff, I chuckled to myself because I was like, well, you know, they could do Terraform. Why the fuck couldn't SimCity do it?
Oh god, because yeah, this is moving on. At this point, I just wrote 40 minutes to go. ... And I was like,
that's kind of interesting. I will say that.
You thought it looked cool? I thought it looked like something.
As somebody who enjoyed Little Planet, and this looks like it's been more approachable than that.
Yeah,
it actually does. Pretty.
It's more of an action focus, and yeah,
the only thing I have that does Smart Glass is my phone. And I don't think that's going to be very easy to do.
Right.
But it's definitely something I would be willing to look at if it's not terribly expensive.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because they're like, there's this kind of like game creator aspect of it too, because like Little Big Planet 2, because they showed like a Geometry Wars looking game playing in that game. So I'm not sure. It's promising. I just could not give a fuck, man. Like let's move on.
That was definitely where it went even closer to the okay. This is their answer to Little Big Planet.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, okay, it's showing things that you know the game doesn't even normally look like that people have made in it. Okay, this is yeah. This it's interesting in that respect because it definitely takes a lot of the restraints that Little Big Planet puts in and gets rid of them, especially by giving you just that big open environment.
Yeah, and Game Trailers is showing this thing about BioShock Infinite right now, and I can say that, yeah, current gen games running it on high end PCs look better than most of what they showed today running on the Xbox One. But we'll see. So it's also got to do with art style. Like, I didn't see anything there except for like the sweary game that really stood out to me in terms of art style, and Metal Gear Solid because I'm a fanboy now. Apparently, I'm back to being a fanboy of Metal Gear Solid. So sure. So moving on, Mark Witten came on stage. The guy I hated second most. So in order, let's just put this out there. It was the Yusef guy, because fuck that guy. Then Mark Witten, and then Don Matrick. I hated all of them in the original Microsoft press release thing. So he's back, great. And this time he's not wearing a jacket. He was just rocking a shirt over his. I'm portly too, so I can understand. But he was not looking that great on stage. And yeah, it was just he demoed the least interesting features in the world to me, and tried to sell them as something awesome. So he started with Smart Glass. He's the guy who did that Smart Glass demonstration, which showed like seeing other people's. It was started with Rise, and it showed like other people's what's his face like stats, which you can look up via Smart Glass, and like the equivalent of achievement process like progress and like game progress and stuff, which you can look up via Smart Glass. If these features were marketed as just mobile platforms and PC and like web browser applications, and they just abandoned the Smart Glass name, I'd actually be pretty. I think they're pretty cool. But anything,
well, I mean, that's essentially what they are, though.
Yeah, they are that. So it's hard for me because when I heard it, it's like a switch flipped, and I just could not care about anything shown. But when I think about it,
since you hear the word smart glass, you just immediately tune everything out.
I just tune it out. But when I think back on it, they're actually really cool features. So yeah, that's cool. And then they show
cool features that will be supported by most or some devs for the first 6 to 8 months, and then nobody will support it anymore.
Or like only first party studios will ever support it again. Or Halo. Halo will probably have this.
Halo will have it.
Halo will have it. This is guesses in iPod, by the way. And that now, what they showed.
Oh, Duty might have it. That way they can just offload onto Microsoft servers and not have to have their own website with all that information.
So then they showed Upload Studio, which is kind of cool.
That was neat. You know, you can do some real quick and dirty video editing.
Yeah.
Though, like, what they showed him doing and what the final video looked like,
looking the same,
it matched up. So I don't know if it's just randomly throwing in fucking camera cuts and bro music and everything else, or if they just, you know, for in interest of time, didn't show all that part, but just showed him cutting the video and then showed what it could look like.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think it actually will work. Okay, it's hard to say because
I will say that during that part, that was where that was the part where they brought back Killer Instinct and he was playing.
We'll get there just a second. I just want to, before the Killer Instinct stuff. Did you see that the comparison of the Wired demo of the Xbox One interface and what it looked like on the conference? So in the conference, in the conference it was like silky smooth, obviously, and I was actually convinced that that would be how it was in real life because they went out there, said 3 gigabytes of their shit's dedicated to it. I was like actually going, okay, maybe it is actually that good. But then you see it on the Wired demonstration and it looks like janky as fuck. It's like stuttering as it steps in and the video playback.
To be fair, like optimization is like the last thing that is
iterated on. They have till November, so, but
yeah. I mean, I think what they showed on stage is what they hope to have it at by launch. But then they obviously, you know, do need to show it off to press to show like this is not just all smoke and mirrors. This is something we can actually do now. It's not optimized, but here it is.
Killzone Shadowfall was just shown on game trailers. It's being shown now. I have to say, that game actually holds up. It does look better than anything I saw on Xbox One today. It looks amazing. But then it's Killzone. Was it really good in the Metal Gear?
That Metal Gear looked really good.
No, it's hard to... No, because it's open world game versus non-open world game. You can't really compare the two, you know?
And yeah, Metal Gear, I think, looked better.
I think Killzone looks better, but Metal Gear is open world, so it's more impressive. Anyway, whatever. Back to the conference. So then they showed the big get, which is Twitch broadcasting as part of that Killer Instinct demonstration.
So the Killer Instinct was also during the
Smart Glass stuff.
The playback thing, too, because that was where he got the clip from. And the point I wanted to make was when he was making, or when they were doing that fight where he eventually ended up winning and he wanted to make that clip.
Yeah.
Said something that is probably going to be in headlines this week.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, I mean, he was playing against a female who was up on stage.
Uh-huh.
And what he said was kind of maybe a little rapey.
I didn't hear it. What did he say? I wrote
him down where just let it happen. It'll be over soon.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see like.
Like, did you really just say that on stage?
I didn't see.
Like, holy shit.
I did not. See the connection obviously there, but now that you pointed out, that's
yeah, like obviously that's not what he meant, but like just with you know some of the news that's been in the industry lately, it would not surprise me if you start seeing headlines about you know,
yeah,
Microsoft dude saying these things and you know some people basically trying to spread you know negative stuff about Microsoft because of this or something like going into or coming out of E3. Wouldn't surprise me. Obviously that's not what he really meant, but it surprised me that was his word choice.
Yeah. Yeah, either way, like my notes from that was I still fucking love the new Killer Instinct song. I think it sounds awesome. Killer Instinct itself looks like Street Fighter 4 and it looks pretty good. The Twitch integration.
I mean, obviously Sony's gonna have it too, but it was good on Microsoft to be able to actually say that on stage.
They used the words "it's built in" to the Xbox One, and I'm really curious as to whether that means it's a feature day one, or it actually means they do have dedicated hardware like Sony does that will do it without any performance hit, because they did not say that. They did not say that it has no performance
hit. $499, they better.
I would say so as well, but again, like I'm not sure. Like, they didn't sell me on it, because sure, it's built into the console, but like, so was the XMB on PlayStation 3. And that ran like ass when you do that mid game. So like, don't know.
And definitely like, you know, when you do stream on a PC, you do take a performance hit.
Huge performance hit in a lot of cases.
If they don't have hardware dedicated to it, then yeah, you're definitely going to see, you know, your Forza is not going to run 60 frames a second while you're streaming it.
Yeah. Forza, that's relatively acceptable, but for Killer Instinct, which is, I assume, a fighting game, which requires precision input, cannot have a performance hit when playing that game. Otherwise, it's shit. So, we'll see. But it is a big get. I will agree with you. Twitch TV, we speculated this as soon as Sony announced Ustream that Twitch is going to be a Microsoft. And we were right. Yeah. Hey, we were right. Cool. So that's good. That was good. Anything else from Smart Glass?
The other thing they showed, it wasn't Smart Glass, but before moving on to actual games again.
Yeah.
The other thing they showed was, or they announced was Xbox Live Gold sharing. Basically, what it essentially means is for your one Xbox One console in your family's home, mm-hmm. only one person needs Xbox Gold.
Yeah, and that was kind of like revealed in the in that release on Thursday with the DRM stuff.
It was convoluted as fuck, but yeah. This is what it
is. This is that distilled down to a marketing line. Like, this is what they meant by that, which is you can share it within your house. And what that says to me is that you can put, oh, Cerny! Holy shit, that's Mark Cerny's right there. Oh my god, I just want to touch him. I just want to touch him through my TV. Anyway, game trailers. So like, what was I saying? I love Mark Cerny so much. What was I saying? It was something about something.
So
it sounds like it's going to be IP based because they specifically said within your own home. So yeah. It definitely sounds like if you're connecting via the same subnet, let's just use the actual term.
Yeah, this is separate from the 10 person thing that was also mentioned in that release earlier too.
Yeah.
But like this makes a lot of sense though. Like this is why they got rid of Xbox Live Gold Family.
Sure.
Anyway,
so yeah, that looked, sure. And they also announced the thing we kind of knew about, which is they're going to be using dollars now, which is good. They're moving Microsoft points, which I think is a fantastic thing for the industry compared to the rest of the things they're doing to the industry.
Pounds and euros.
Oh, fuck. Don't say that. Man, I would have said no before today. But yeah, it looks if they're fucking over Europeans on that stuff as well, that's just fucked up. Anyway.
And the worst part of that is, like, I don't want to get into this because, you know, this is getting into the price stuff that we're going to get into later. But, like, Europe is where Microsoft needs to win it right now.
It looks like they're just giving up in everywhere but North America. The TV stuff is not going to work in Europe, which is, like, a significant part of the feature set for the Xbox One. And then the way huge price markup for Europe and no mention of anything Japanese except for Suero 65. It looks like they're just freaking giving up everywhere but the States. They're just tripling down.
They're going to release in Japan, but yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
I don't know. All right, anyway.
All right, so Crimson Dragon, the first of their main... So everything's down here from here. Let's just say this up front. Everything's downhill from here. So
I wouldn't say everything.
Well, not everything, but, sure. But the audio, that was on their official stream.
The entire trailer.
It was just this weird dude who I think was in the control room, like... making weird, like, under-breath comments while... this looks awesome. Like, that kind of shit while it was going on. And it was, like, no was game great. Audio whatsoever. All you got was the fake clapping by the crowd. Because you can see that no journalists are clapping.
Like, yelling occasionally.
They did it again. They did the thing again with the fake clapping. It's like, what the hell? So, yeah.
Well, I could see maybe there being some people in the audience that might have actually been clapping because this is essentially a new Panzer Dragoon game,
and a lot of people love games. Sure, but it didn't. When I saw that, it didn't capture the spirit of Panzer Dragoon to me. It looked very cartoony in a way I wasn't expecting it to, and without the sound, like without the orchestral soundtrack, which it probably has, I don't know. I didn't get the feeling from that trailer. So we'll see.
I think that was really unfortunate that they didn't even bother like going back and trying to replay it or anything.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, it looked cool, I guess. Like if you're into that kind of thing, I guess I'm going to wait till reviews on that kind of stuff. And I hope it comes to things that aren't Xbox One.
So the next one was probably the most interesting game they showed to me.
Really?
At this entire conference.
I thought they lost the plot with Dead Rising. Okay. So they showed Dead Rising, right?
Yeah, they showed Dead Rising 3, and what was so interesting about it for me, there were a couple different things. First off, yet again, Frank was nowhere to be seen. I actually wrote down, I wonder if he'll be DLC, but Frank was nowhere to be seen, so it's a whole new character again. I forgot what his name was now.
Mechanic dude, whatever.
Yeah, but like, there's a couple of different things that I took from what they showed of that game. They actually showed some gameplay, first of all.
Oh, yeah. Straight up gameplay. And what do you think it looked like? I think it looked pretty good, I guess.
It looked really good, actually. Like, okay. Looking at what Dead Rising games looked like on the Xbox 360.
Right.
During that generation compared to other games on that console, You know, they were never like amazing looking games.
Well, like when he went into the house and the lighting changed, I was really impressed by like the fact that it does have that ability to
the lighting. And also the sound design was incredibly well done. Like you saw him go, you know, move from one environment to another, and you would hear like the difference in the moans from the zombies. You know, if he was, or you'd hear like kind of a whole sound.
I thought it was really,
as he moved the pissing ring, like the music kind of kicked in as he came in.
Yeah,
like it was really, really well done.
I thought it was like really technically impressive, but when you look at the past Dead Rising games, they were really colorful and like freaking, they're set in like the most, the last one was in a carnival. Like it was, it's just,
well, that's what I was getting at. There were some things about this that I personally actually like took away as positives from this. And the first is that they seem to be going for, I don't want to say more realistic, because I mean, obviously, you know, it's a zombie game.
Yeah.
The ones weren't unrealistic necessarily in a lot of cases.
It was gritty and gray. Let's just say it was gritty and gray. I mean, come on.
Well, I wouldn't say it was gritty and gray. I would say it was gritty and there was a dark filter put on it.
Sure. Okay. I'll give you that.
But the other thing that I took from it that I actually think, like, one of the things I thought I always loved about Dead Rising was just kind of how goofy the game was. Like, you know, the goofy outfits you could wear, the crazy weapons you could make, the mayhem you could cause, like all that stuff. But then when it really came down to it, I never really changed costumes. And when I did, it was, you know, I wore clothes, or I wore, you know, like a swanky suit and tie, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And it was really what it came down to more was just, it was all about the weapons. It was all about trying out these new different ways to just fucking maim these zombies. And so what this game did, or seems to have done based on what they showed, is got rid of a lot of the silliness. You didn't see this character running around in tidy whities. You didn't see him running around with their clown nose.
Yeah.
You know, throwing bowling balls at people, nothing crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it did keep the weapon creation stuff.
Yes, really it did. Interesting. Like, yes, it did. They demonstrated that live.
To a mallet or something. Like, that was the fact they kept that. I'm really excited about that. And I'm also kind of excited they got rid of the silliness.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm just relatively distracted because they're showing Knack now. I think it looks okay. It looks a bit like, it looks very current gen, but with next gen graphics, if you get what I mean by that. Anyway, so yeah, I thought Dead Rising, and they didn't say anything, because I was suspecting there'd be not multiplayer, like proper multiplayer, and that would be their push going forward, but they didn't mention anything about multiplayer that I remember. And so
Dead Rising is a game where you almost, especially if they are going away from the silly, you don't want multiplayer. Like with the silly stuff, multiplayer kind of could make a little bit of sense.
It would have been awesome.
They might be going now.
Awesome, kid.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So Dead Rising looked cool, I guess. So are you a Dead Rising fan? Because I'm not a Dead Rising fan. Did it excite you?
I really, really, really enjoyed the first one. Daddy, and I played a little bit of the second one. And it was not as, like, it wasn't what I wanted out of a sequel to that game.
We're going to pause the show for like a minute. All right, we're back. How you doing, Darren? Everything cool?
Good. House is quiet now.
Where are we up to? Let me have a look. So we were talking about Dead Rising. So anything else to say about Dead Rising? I think it was gray, in my opinion. I thought it was, for me, I'm just going to default to what the Dead Rising fans are going to say about it. Because for me, I guess I'm just not, I thought it lost the spirit of Dead Rising is what I got from that. But it gained something in the way of like Western influence and technological advancement, which maybe does make it exciting again, but you're the guy. Was it cool?
Yeah. Like I said, it lost the silliness maybe, and maybe that's the spirit you're talking about, but I feel like the silliness, that wasn't the coolest part of Dead Rising. Like they always show that off. Like when they would show off, you know, the trailers for that game or whatever, it was always, you know, showing Frank or whoever in ridiculous clothes,
right,
wielding, you know, big foam finger, and that's what they're attacking the enemy with. And like nobody plays the game that way. That's just,
so,
I mean,
so you're saying it's more about the weapon creation, and they confirmed weapon creation, so you're there.
Especially after the second game, because the first game didn't really have creation; it just had silly weapons,
right?
The second one was where they really introduced that, and I feel like that kind of overtook the silliness as like, this is Dead Rising now.
Yeah,
So for them to just kind of go full board into that and at least seemingly have less, if not, you know, none of the silliness, I'm actually totally okay with, because that game looks really interesting.
Cool. Well, I really glad to hear.
PC.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping for PC. So then they move on to probably one of the cooler games of the night as well. Witcher 3 came on. Looked impressive. And they announced they announced some exclusive features, including smart glass integration.
Yeah, but smart glass integration. I think there was even some Kinect stuff too. Voice stuff you could do.
Yeah.
Like changing.
But nothing, it didn't, like, nothing they said was fundamental, and there's no like timed exclusivity or anything like that. So yeah. It just seems like they just got money added for a couple of extra features, and that sounds, yeah, sure. It's Witcher 3, worldwide first gameplay reveal. It looked pretty good. I thought,
it looked really good.
It looked pretty good.
It didn't look much better, if better at all, than Witcher 2, but then again, it's open world.
But it's open world, time, yeah.
So that's absolutely acceptable. Witcher 2 was an amazing looking game. So,
as I said earlier, you can't really compare a single player driven experience to, solo.
Well, to some extent, when you have a game made by this development studio and then their next game years later doesn't look any better, like you almost want to take pause. But again, you do have to remember it is.
Yeah, I think this is very impressive.
The fact they made the open world game look that amazing actually is
very impressive. I think this is one of the better, more impressive games. I think Metal Gear Solid 5 is still the most impressive looking game of the night. But we have no idea what that was running on at all. In this case, this looks very realistic to be running on a PC, like a modern PC, and probably realistic to be running on Xbox One. I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty impressed by the technology wise. Aside from that, it looked like more Witcher. The only thing I took away from it was
not a bad thing.
But the thing I took away from it was they said the last part of the legend. So does this mean that's it? This is the last Witcher game?
Yes.
That's kind of crazy.
This is the last Witcher game. After this is when they go full on development into
Cyberpunk. If it's Cyberpunk,
I have a phone call. I'm gonna have to pause again.
All right, cool. Be right back. Doing it raw. Back again. This is why we don't record this early in the day for Durin, but I don't mind it because I want Durin's reactions today. So, and while we watch this kind of cool Evil Within demo on game trailers, we were talking about Witcher 3. So this is going to be the last Witcher game. Cyberpunk 2077 is the next one. I'm actually fine with that trade because I'm totally pumped for some more from Cyberpunk. That looks really cool, that concept. So, sure. And so have either of us I haven't played The Witcher yet. I own both games, but I haven't played either of them.
I played quite a few hours of the first one, but I haven't touched the second one because I haven't beat the first one.
So what we're saying is we're not really Witcher guys, but it looks cool.
Oh, I love Witcher. I just don't have time to play that game.
Sure. Cool. Yeah. All right. So I guess we should move on. The second big fluff of the night. So, when they announced that DICE will be coming on, I was certain it would be Mirror's Edge. So I was riveted to my seat. And then they said Battlefield 4. And I left the room entirely. I just okay, cool. Break time. Got up, left the room, went to the bathroom, came back, and they still weren't showing the game yet. And I was like, what's happening? And the dude on stage was like totally.
Oh, so you missed all that.
He just seemed like he was freaking out. What happened?
That was the second sound issue. The trailer started. There was no sound. And so he was kind of standing up on stage and people were heckling from the crowd.
Oh,
somebody
my God.
Mentioned something about his shirt. I don't know what it was.
People heckled?
But people were yelling shit out, like Xbox sound.
Holy cow.
Like somebody said something about his shirt. Like it was, it was crazy. And then he's kind of, after a little while, he's like, okay, I guess you guys will see the trailer later. And then kind of you heard some kind of like moans from the crowd and everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then there was like a pause, and then eventually the thing did start. And then, man, afterwards, when he came back on,
he was shaken.
he just wanted to get off that fucking stage.
Yeah, he did.
And I do not blame him for the way that crowd treated him.
Man,
that was rough.
That was. I feel sorry for him. Guy. I feel sorry for him so bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm definitely having Freudenschreuder for Microsoft in general, but yeah, for him, on the other hand, that was a shit way to open, to have a first conference at E3, because I haven't seen him before. Maybe he's done stuff before, but that was rough. The game looked okay. I couldn't tell if it looked good or not, because I haven't played a Battlefield game.
So, the game looked pretty good. I will say that they did say on Xbox One it will be running at 60 frames a second,
which is really important. I was really impressed by that. That was the second 60 FPS call, of the day.
But one thing I noticed was, I actually even noted, I feel bad for this guy with his sound issues. But one thing was, like, the water when it was hitting up against the ship, or like not hitting, like not the actual splashes, but just the actual water up against the ship looked really, really fucking awkward. Bad.
Okay. Right. But then we don't, because it's still in development.
It looked really good.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, no DICE has hammered, like, just nailed graphics before. And the Xbox One, did I say it was for Xbox One or Xbox 360 or both?
It's not so much a graphics problem as it is one of the things that, like, is kind of still new to level design, and that is volumetric water.
Right. Well, Uncharted 3 did it and did it incredibly well. So
But the difference was Uncharted 3 did it from afar.
You had parts where, like, I've played recently, and you had parts where you actually had to interact and walk through the water as it was rising in a shimping ship. Like, it did, like, crazy stuff.
What I mean, though, is like rising swells of ocean waves during a storm, and you're on a little dinghy out in the water.
Yeah, this did that as well. Like, in a different part of the game, there's like a shipyard where you're in stormy water, and not only one ship, not only the ship you're on, but a bunch of ships are all rising and falling in volume. But then Naughty Dog is, like, best in class, so, and it was 30 frames a second. Again, Uncharted 3, 30 frames a second. This is 60 frames a second, which is three times harder to do. Like, according to John Carmack, 60 frames a second is three times harder to do, and this looked pretty good, and it did look pretty good, aside from the slight awkwardness.
Other than that one thing, everything else looked really, really good, especially for being 60 frames. I mean, I will say, it didn't look any better than Battlefield 3 did on PC, at least for me, through the stream.
Yep.
But it's also a console game running at 60 frames a second.
At this point in time, I was like, holy cow, making that look that good on the potentially cheap, like a cheap console. Like, remember, we hadn't heard the price yet. I was like, that's really cool. Like, in terms of just a value proposition, we're going back to the days where console games are really good bang for the buck. Of course, that impression didn't entirely last, but let's move on. It looked good, right? And they said some exclusive stuff for Xbox as well. I think it was like a
DLC stuff.
Oh yeah, DLC coming first to Xbox One, which I guess is important, because now they're getting both Modern Warfare DLC and Battlefield 3 DLC first in Xbox One, which is, I think, kind of crazy. They're kind of cornering the market on shooters. But yeah, in my personal opinion, I couldn't give less of a fuck. Battlefield needs to be played on PC, right? Like, that's kind of the platform for it, right? And they didn't say anything about whether multiplayer is going to be 64 players.
PC was the platform for Battlefield pre-3, but with, like, 3 was so console-ified at that point.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's well, just
every, as much everyone I saw play Battlefield on anything was playing on a PC. But, of course, we're talking about streaming platforms here, so obviously PC is easier to stream from, but most of the coverage I saw was about the PC version. And I know the PC version did look way better than the console version for the 360. Well, but no, this looked really good. So maybe this is the lead platform. Who knows? I doubt it, though. I think the fact that they didn't specifically say they're going to have 64-player multiplayer and stuff like that, and they focus on 60 frames a second, it sounds like they're just going to be doing a console-ass console version of Battlefield 4 60 frames a second, as opposed to, like, getting parity in features and other things with PC, which is concerning in different ways. We'll see how that pans out with time. Maybe they will hit 64 players. We don't know, but they didn't say either way. So moving on. What's the next game? What have I written here?
The next game was Below. Oh,
this is one of my favorite games shown. This looked awesome. I liked it. I thought it looked really cool.
Maybe I just don't necessarily like the games these guys make, but my literal reaction was, I don't know, like, it's a simple aesthetic indie game, like every other indie game out there.
But these are the guys who are really good at, like, who have proven themselves to be really good at simple aesthetic
games. Yeah, they're the guys who did Sword and Sorcery, which I also wasn't impressed by that game either.
Really? I like the music from it. So.
But that's because I wasn't impressed by it enough to even spend money on it.
Right. I personally, I played a bit of it. It did turn me off eventually because I didn't like the way it controlled. But I played it on iOS, and so I didn't play it on PC. This is coming through Xbox One, so it will be playing like a console game. I would be open to it. I'd probably, if this comes out on PC, which it most probably will because it's an indie game, I'll be happy to play that on my PC with the controller. So I'm pretty excited about it. I thought it looked pretty cool. All right, moving on. What's next? Oh God. So at this point, 10 minutes to go in the conference, right? 10 minutes to go. Nothing here has been particularly exciting except for Metal Gear. Yeah.
Before we get to the game, between this next game and below, I decided to write down that Phil Spencer's lip bite was really starting to get to me.
Oh man, yeah, he's
every like game announcement. As soon as he finished talking about the game announcement, lip bite, and then cut to video.
Yeah,
and stop doing that. Stop it. Stop.
Microsoft just doesn't have good facemen, except for Phil Harrison. And Harrison is an ex-Sony guy, so it's just really weird to see him on stage. So I just don't know how they're going to win this. But anyway, either way. Is that it? So Black Tusk? We're going to talk about the Black Tusk game? So essentially you've got on to say that there's more studios that they've opened to make games for the Xbox One. And they wanted to show us previews from a couple of them. The first one was Black Tusk Studios, and they proceeded to show like 15 seconds of pre-rendered footage and walk off the stage.
Yeah, like that's what I said. Like, what game? There was no game to show there.
They didn't announce a name. I couldn't. I thought it was a Splinter Cell game for a bit there, but it clearly wasn't. Yeah. And
it was like a guy rappelling down the side of a skyscraper, and then cut to black. Next game.
Yeah, it was. It was like 15 seconds long. He went down the skyscraper. He got inside the building. He looked at the camera. He was just a generic looking white dude, stealthy guy, and then it moved on. So Don Matrick's huge, like, he made a big stink about Blast Tusk, and everyone thought they were working on something really interesting. So maybe they are. Maybe this game will be interesting, but we saw nothing there of interest.
Maybe they'll be on game trailers at some point, and maybe they'll show something off there. But
yeah,
that's. We don't know.
So, the second game where the main character begins the game with a hood on, I burst out laughing.
Did you get a Journey vibe from that also?
I thought
was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be okay. This looks like a potentially interesting.
This looks like gritty Journey.
Yeah, indie game. Like I thought it was like something about like a big desert world where you're like a guy solo, and then.
Well, like the chunkiness to the guy,
that was the first clue.
After the Journey thing, because that just was kind of came and went. But after that, I was like, wait, are they working with like, did they license Darksiders and they're making the next one themselves,
or like Lost Planet? Is this Lost Planet, but like a Western take on it? And it so it's like, It was funny, but the main thing that struck me was not only was he big and bulky, which is kind of interesting, but he walked weird. Like he didn't walk like a traveler or a wanderer would, who's like the kind of archetype they were invoking with his clothes.
They had very heavy footsteps.
Yeah, very heavy footsteps, and just like weird, like lilting gait, and I was like, there's something weird about this, right? And so then the weird stuff happens with the ground, and the ground sinks down.
The Transformer comes out of the ground.
The Transformer comes out, like the straight-up Transformers 3-style Transformer comes out of the ground. And I thought it was going to be Titanfall. I was like, oh, so this is Titanfall. That looks pretty cool. Like if they're going for like a Wanderer kind of aspect, like humanity's on the ropes and we're fighting mechs who are trying to wipe us out. That's kind of like a Mass Effect-y kind of vibe. And I was like, really? If that was Titanfall, that would have been really cool. Because I specifically didn't look at much of the Game Informer leaks because... It's kind of slack, like
neither.
Yeah, it's kind of slack that they got it got leaked. So I wanted to see it how they wanted to present it themselves. So I thought at this point it was Titanfall. And I was like, holy cool, that sounds pretty cool. Like it's kind of reminding me of Destiny because they also have that kind of like roguish future thing going on, and the huge mech, the Transformer, the pretty much one to one Transformer that comes to the ground. I was like, okay, that can be what Destiny is, but then. His hood pops back, and I burst out laughing, and I just did not stop laughing for the rest of the demo.
That was literally the dumbest fucking reveal I've ever seen.
Like he reaches into his pocket and he brings out his like a hand, and there's like dog tags on it, and I was like, okay, that, so it is probably like a it's probably Titanfall, because it has like a Destiny-esque kind of feel with like armored dude, but in like roguish kind of like drab clothes. But then, yeah, when he's head forward and Chief looks up out of the thing, I'm just like, oh man, that was one of the stupidest first trailers I've ever seen.
Well, there was that, and then it cuts to Halo.
No number.
Halo.
Just Halo. But it's made by 343, so it's probably Halo 5.
It's made by 343. It is an Xbox One exclusive title.
And
so it's got to be Halo 5, but for whatever reason, they're not putting a number. So
they
maybe
just announced it's Halo.
Maybe this one, they're not going to put a number on it. They're just going to put a subtitle there, and they haven't decided on one.
Sure.
But it was just weird for them to announce this thing as Halo.
Yeah.
But especially with all the other Halo announcements we've had lately.
But beyond like that stuff and the absolute, I encourage everyone to watch that trailer, because it was I thought it was really funny. It's just the animations on it and the way he looked up, like kind of shocked look up from Master Chief with whatever. But aside from that, I don't think we're the two people to be talking about Halo. So maybe this got Halo fans excited, because I guess like the idea of Master Chief being alone on a desert island sounds kind of cool, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, well, I didn't finish 4, so I'm not sure where that ended.
Yeah.
To know.
Well, I watched 4 on YouTube, and it ended with Cortana, and like some stuff happened to Cortana. And
say, I haven't finished it yet, so don't.
So stuff happens to Cortana, and they get separated. Master Chief is essentially goes back to the humans. Last time you see him, he's taking his they're taking his armor off, but you don't see his face, obviously. But they're taking his armor off, and he's in full armor here, which again I find hilarious, because if they made a trailer in an alternate future where they made a trailer where when the fabric falls down from his face, it's a dude with just like a ninja style, or like a traveler style, like Hebrew, like the kind of like Middle Eastern kind of style face wraps on, and you could just see his eyes, right? Like if you could just see his eyes and it was just face wraps, and then it said Halo, that would have been
better. Like before the Halo cut, he says something, because his voice is very distinct.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like
you see this dude, and then he says something, and you realize, oh shit,
that's
Master Chief. He's not in his armor.
Exactly. If that was the trailer, I would have been...
That's been a much better reveal.
That would have been insane. Everyone would have lost their fucking minds. But as it was...
Like you said, the thing brushes back. You see just his eyes.
Yeah.
And he pulls out the dog tags, or maybe even pulls out something else. Like pulls out the little thing that he would use to put Cortana into other machines.
Yeah.
Just pulls that out, looks at it, and says... You know, something like, Cortana, where are you?
At this point, there's a huge mech above him, right? So you're still getting the reaction shot. So even if they just did like we just need to see a human's eyes and then cut to Halo. That would have been Either way, all of those ideas, not what they did. They did just a hilarious up.
Put him back in his armor, and for some reason, a fucking red cloak over it.
He was wearing a cloak. I thought it was white, but whatever. Who cares?
That was red, because that was what made me think of Journey at first.
Oh, sure. It was just hilarious. I just couldn't stop laughing. So, Halo. You got your damn Halos for your Xbox One.
Oh, and I will say, one of the big revelations they did say is that this will be the first Halo that is in 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
So this is the first 60 frames a second game.
So, okay. It sounds bad, but I think... that the number one thing aside from Metal Gear Solid 5 that got me excited from this conference is that if Xbox One can do awesome looking games at 60 frames, I cannot wait to see what the PS4 can do, because
it's nice to know that they're not immediately jumping to 30 frames
better looking games. It's 60 frames, slight graphical or definite graphical bump. That is exciting to me. That is console games being 60 frames. Pretty much everyone on the internet, like in so many message boards, everyone's like, nah, they're not going to do that. 60 frames isn't a thing on consoles. It is a thing. Microsoft has stood up on stage and pretty much put a line in the sand saying 60 frames is a thing on consoles. And that is pretty exciting. I cannot wait.
It's not like it's something they're mandating for all developers or anything.
Definitely not.
But it's nice to know that they are...
pushing for it.
They're pushing for it themselves, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And so... with the PS4 being potentially twice as powerful, depending on which route they take for increasing their production runs on those APUs for the Xbox One. Yeah, I just cannot wait to see Sony's press conference later today. Anyway, so then the big thing happened. Because it's Halo and then launch details. Like, that was it. There's nothing between there, right? And so the first thing was they showed a controller, and I didn't realize what I was seeing, but someone on GameSpot pointed it out. There's a controller. The new controllers have, like, day one edition or something, like, stamped on them. And it's coming on sometime in November 2013, released in 22 countries worldwide. So essentially a worldwide simultaneous launch for most major markets. And at that point, I was like, holy cow, they're doing release information. I'm pretty excited. They did a pretty good conference today. Halo's Halo, and the other game, they showed a lot of games, and some of them are pretty impressive. And then the next words out of his fucking mouth just made me pause and stare at the screen. I could not believe what I was hearing, because $499 for this console was one thing. I thought, huh, that's way higher than I expected for what I saw today. But then following it up with, and €499, which is like $600, and then £429, which is like $650, I was just like, what are you doing? What did you, who made, what? What is happening? It's like you built yourself up to actually come out of the PR shitstorm that you created of the budget, like, past couple of weeks with a solid conference. Not perfect, definitely, but a solid conference. And then you essentially take a gun, point it at your own face, and just pull the trigger. Because if I was them, right? If I was them, I would reveal that price far earlier in the conference. Because by the end of the conference, with seeing the cool games they showed, maybe you can sell people on that price. But the reverse way around, the way they did it, it essentially kind of invalidated most of the conference coming. Because if it's £429, what's it going to be in Australian dollars? We already get shafted day in, day out. And if the UK guys are getting shafted, we're going to get extra shafted. It's going to be insane over here.
I'm thinking, like, more importantly, like, Microsoft being in the position that they were in going into E3, they just should have not announced a price.
At all. If that was the price they had because in mind, they should have announced a price.
We already know they're going to be at GamesCon. So what they should have done instead is just not announce the price now, force Sony to be the first to announce a price so that they can then adjust their price accordingly. You know, if Sony decided to launch it, let's say $449, then Microsoft could look at theirs and be like, okay, do we feel like we could still get $499 out of ours, or do we need to go ahead and take a loss and do $449 to be competitive?
And if it was like what I suspect it is, which is the APU problems, or like the Kinect for some reason being really expensive, which it could be, what they could have done was just say $499 US and stop there. Leave the international pricing for Gamescom, because holy cow, is there another? Because if they just said $499 US dollars, a lot of people can sell that to themselves. I'm pretty sure I would be perfectly happy with buying a PS4 for that price. I think that was a sellable, marketable price. Even though it's higher than expected. I was actually expecting probably something close to $399 or $429, something like that. But the fact that they went out and said the overseas rip-off pricing where they didn't even need to, they certainly didn't need to announce those prices today. That was a really stupid move in their part. So, and at that point, I just kind of tuned out. So they showed Titanfall straight after it, and I wasn't even watching Titanfall. I was just like, I immediately just went to all the forums and chat rooms and stuff to see what the reactions were, and they were not positive. But what you saw Titanfall, right? So you watched the most of the Titanfall demo.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it looked kind of interesting if you're still into shooters. I think what I compared it to was it was like Call of Duty meets Hawken meets Brink.
Yeah, and
the, really Brink is, the Brink isn't just in the intro. The intro thing definitely feels like Brink, where like it's doing a cutscene, and while it's doing that, it's actually searching for more players. And then once that search is complete, then it has kind of a cooldown period before the actual mission starts. All the while, exposition is being given to the players that are there in game. Right. Brink did basically that exact same thing. That's how you got into the different missions.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond that, just the way that the levels actually played out, where once you actually started playing, like you're given a base objective for your team or whatever, and then kind of move throughout the level, completing more objectives as you move on. Felt very much like what I remember, what little I played of Brink.
Sure.
But like the combat itself.
Remind me a lot of Hawken. Like I saw Hawken when I looked at it. When
you're not in a mech, it very much just reminded me of like kind of a Call of Duty.
Sure.
But yeah, when you hop into a mech, the mechs definitely seemed very reminiscent of Hawken. They're, you know, very agile.
Yeah.
They're not kind of the clunky mech warrior type of mechs that you are able to kind of strafe around, jump around.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you are a large target. So one of the things they mentioned is, you know, contrary to what you might expect, a lot of people actually seem to prefer to play as a human than as a mech, just because you do have a little bit more nimbleness available to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it looked interesting. Graphically, it looked pretty good.
I thought it looked pretty good because I wrote down if you pay attention to like the
platform or cross generation game.
Oh, is it? Did they say 360 as well?
I thought I could be wrong, but I thought it was.
Well, it certainly looked like one because I wrote down low poly, like pretty much everything there was low poly, right? I saw very few. Some of the buildings were high poly count, but most of the stuff there was pretty low poly. There was definitely some detail to the mechs themselves. There was certainly detail to the mechs, more than Hawken, absolutely. But it was still comparatively low poly. And also, the textures were low res. Like, I saw very few textures there that were, even on the mechs themselves, which are probably where they're focusing a lot of their design detail, at least from what I saw, none of the textures looked particularly good. The lighting didn't look particularly good either. So on many levels, it looked to me like an up-res current-gen game. And I know they're running at 60, but the fact that they said that Battlefield is also running at 60 on the Xbox One, I'm not impressed at all by anything they showed in terms of graphics. But what do you think of mechs? Are mechs back? Is this Halo has mechs now and this has mechs now? Does a shooter cross mech game seem exciting to you?
I've never liked mechs, so no.
Well, Thurbleton liked Hawken, so the guys.
I will say I did actually like Hawken.
Yeah, so people who are listening to this would probably already hear his reactions on the topic. But from my stage, it's a shooter, so I couldn't give less of a fuck about that game. In your case, are you interested in it? If it came to PC, would you be interested in it?
Probably not.
Okay. Because I think it is confirmed for PC.
Like, above all, it's just kind of generic to me. Like, from what I saw, like nothing mm-hmm. about that really stood out as like,
yeah,
this looks like something new that I want to check out.
If you're trying to sell me on a crazy like mech human future, you kind of need to sell me on the world as well. And they didn't sell me in the world. Maybe they sold me in parts of the gameplay, like the part where he ejected from his mech at the last second. That looked cool. But like, the world didn't excite me at all. The graphics didn't excite me at all. I would have ended on the Halo thing. Absolutely. Without a question. They did that the wrong way around.
It makes sense why they didn't, because that was a big get for them to have Respawn's game be exclusive to them.
Sure.
But it's just, I don't know. Like, some people probably got really excited by that game.
Yeah.
It probably is a solid FPS, mm-hmm. but everything about it just visually looked super generic to me.
Yeah.
And if you take the visuals out of it, it's just a shooter. There's nothing about that game that I saw that I can't get in 20 other games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, so we can round this special segment out. I was not expecting to have you on today, so I'm pretty happy about it. I want to do grade scores for the conferences, and at least for Sony and Microsoft. Do you want to do it out of letters or out of 10? I think we should do it out of 10.
That's fine.
Okay. So as a European representative, a person who's representative of European pricing, even though I wasn't interested in the Xbox One in the first place, I'm going to give it the first half of the conference a 8 out of 10. I'll give it a 9 out of 10. I'll give the second half of the conference a 4 out of 10. So I'll be giving the overall conference probably like a 6 out of 10. I thought they really shot themselves in the foot the second half. So, and that price is just fucked up. It's fucked up. How about you?
Well, I was just kind of like scrolling through all the games again, looking at them. And honestly, like, with the exception of probably Killer Instinct and Quantum Break, nothing else they showed that was exclusive to the Xbox One. Maybe Dead Rising 3, but I'm assuming Dead Rising is going to become to PC as well.
Yeah, okay. If you're going to make that assumption, that's that makes some,
There doesn't seem to be a whole lot here that tells me I need to own this system. They didn't do a good job of... They did a good job of showing, yes, this thing does play games. We are definitely all about games. We threw money at a lot of developers to make sure they showed their games here.
Did they? I know Kojima was there. That was a huge get. But I didn't... Like, there was a lot of rumors going around before the conference came out that they're getting a lot of developers to show their games primarily on the Xbox One rather than the PS4. But we've already seen Thief running on the PS4.
Well, a lot of that is going to be on the show floor, not so much on the actual conference.
Yeah, because there's also like Kigari, who's one of the mods at NeoGAF, was saying that from her sources, the conferences were like essentially already planned out and set a week or 2 weeks ago. So if they are doing those last second money hats, it wouldn't have come into effect in terms of the actual conferences themselves. But even that aside, like, I didn't see much on stage, because they did actually show, what was it, like 9 or 10 Microsoft Studios games. So I didn't see that much in the way of third-party support that got me excited. Like, I didn't see much there that told me that their developer relations are particularly good outside their first-party studios. Like, I know Battlefield and Modern Warfare both have exclusive DLC coming out, but that's just exclusive. Is there any timed exclusive DLC?
They had a few different things. I mean, they did have Dead Rising 3. They did, maybe not exclusive, but, you know, getting people to show up on their stage. They had, CD Projekt up there.
CD Projekt was a big deal. I'm actually really surprised that CD Projekt even showed up in the first place, because their stance on DRM... Yeah. It's really strong, and I feel I don't feel let down, because I don't really care that much, but I think it was a really odd move considering what their public image is to be pro Xbox One, or to be appearing to be pro Xbox One, especially with some rumors that DRM is actually going to get worse. We don't know the worst of it yet, but whatever, those are just rumors. But from really credible sources, but they're just rumors. So what's your stance there? Duren, what are you looking at out of 10? Would you buy an Xbox One? Let's just...
As of right now, not at launch, no. I mean, the only thing that they showed that I would want to play possibly day one that looks really interesting is Dead Rising 3.
Sure.
Like, of all the games they showed, that's the only one I saw. Like, that looks like something I actually want to get my hands on that I may not be able to get elsewhere.
So where are you at?
All in all, I mean, that price really fucking killed it.
Yeah, it did, in my opinion. It did.
It really, really killed it.
Absolutely shot itself in the foot.
I got to go somewhere around a 6 as well. And it's not just the price. It's not like it would have been a 10 otherwise.
Yeah, no.
They definitely, like I said, they didn't do a very good job of showing me why I need to own their system over the PlayStation 4. Yeah. They did an okay job of showing, like, they do have games. Mm-hmm. They have some exclusive stuff that you can't get elsewhere. But a lot of that was, you know, Battlefield 4 DLC or, Titanfall, which I'm personally not interested in. The Insomniac thing, again, like, who knows what that's going to turn out to be.
Who the fuck knows?
They put their money in kind of the wrong places if that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
And didn't get the, the for sure gets. I couldn't believe that they didn't bring Call of Duty back on stage again.
I'm not surprised, because Call of Duty had that half hour to 1 hour special, which lived on Spike TV, which was just the gameplay stuff. So maybe I don't think either of them was gonna have Call of Duty stuff there.
All around, I would say probably a 6. Mostly, the price definitely knocks it down a bit, but more than anything, it was just that they didn't really give me a reason to say, okay, I need to start saving that money. I need to have an Xbox One.
And with that, EA is starting now, I think. So we're probably going to go watch that. You might hear more from me and Durin going forward, but it depends on Durin. Like, if you're free, I'm happy to record more, but we'll see. So yeah, that's our Xbox One impressions. Any predictions for Sony? It'll be invalidated by the time the actual podcast goes out, but it'll be fun to have these on paper going into what's going to happen.
I guess a prediction I would say is that Sony has kind of an easy time going into this because all they have to do is beat $4.99.
Yeah, if they beat $4.99, if they come out at $4.49 or if they come out at $4.49, it's a very good proposition. If they come in at $3.99, it's going to be a massacre. It's going to be a complete fucking domination. This might be even PS2 levels of domination this generation because Sony turned it around with this $5.99 thing. They're in a good position now. All their messaging is on point with the PS4. It could be a PS2 again if they do $3.99 at launch. So that's my stance on it. You're looking at what do you think they're going to be at? I think they're going to be $4.49.
I think maybe they were looking at $3.99 as a possibility, but after this, they probably had some real quick meetings in the back. Like, look, guys, we can easily get an S50 out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, and when you're talking about $50, so like over a million consoles, that's $50 million. So, yeah, exactly. Just change the PowerPoint. Just change two numbers on a PowerPoint. You're there, or three numbers, I guess you'd have to be. But no, it'd be two. It'd be two. The nine would stay the same. All right, so
good guys, let's get on the conversion rate for Europe now.
Exactly. So, anything else? I think Square Enix is definitely going to be at Sony now.
I think that's where their Final Fantasy reveal is going
to
be.
Yep, Square Enix is going to be at Sony. I think they kind of have to be now. Like, if they went at Microsoft, they kind of have to be at Sony. I think that Ubisoft is going to make a big showing at Sony because they showed nothing at Microsoft. In both reveals, they showed nothing, which is kind of crazy because I've heard Ubisoft is pretty happy about the DRM situation at Microsoft, but we'll see. So I'm seeing Ubisoft from Sony. I'm seeing $4.49. I'm seeing probably Versus 13. Do you think Versus 13 is going to be there?
Yes. But it will be Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, same. I think the same. Do you think Last Guardian is going to be there? I think it is.
but I don't think anyone will care. Sony kind of came out and said that was kind of a just in case.
Right.
Like, it was no guarantee that it was actually going to be there.
Yep.
But I feel like it has to be there, and it'll be like... There's been some rumors that like it's going to be a PlayStation 4 game. I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think it's
going
to be either.
I think it's going to be a PlayStation 3 game. It'll be like their big, like, hey, PlayStation 3 is still relevant. Check this game out. Remember this? This is coming out this holiday season.
It's going to be similar to how Microsoft announced the really cool moves with Xbox Live with the free games and stuff. It's going to be like that, but for Sony. So instead of showing services that are coming to PS3, they'll say, hey, Last Guardian is coming to PS3. I'm hoping to God that Versus or 15 is not coming to PS3. I hope it's next-gen exclusive because I want to see a fully amped up Final Fantasy going forward, but we'll see.
Why is this guy wearing a zombie head? Okay, we need to...
All right, so we need to wrap this up. Check you guys maybe again. If not, see you for the podcast today. I'll be chucking this at the end of the show. Bye. All right, so that was the Microsoft half of this recording or / episode. Yeah, we gave it 6 out of 10. They showed the games, but their policies and their price point is really a factor. And it has to be a factor, in my opinion. So I will say, before we move on to Sony, that if they do change their policies, if they stop restricting news games and take away the online requirement, that would be a fantastic step, and I might consider buying it, especially since I really could get... I kind of want Quantum Break now that we've kind of seen a little bit more of it and kind of get an idea of what it is. Over E3 day one, it's come to light that it is going to be coming with a TV show. That show will be evolving depending on how you play. I assume that its choices are involved somehow, but otherwise it's a third-person shooter, kind of a cinematic shooter with three protagonists is what I've heard. Reactions about the Xbox One controller is it's very slightly smaller than the Xbox 360 controller, but it seems perfectly fine. The D-pad seems much improved, though a bit clicky with a not much throw to it, but it's a straight up plus shape D-pad. And the triggers, the rumble on them has been pretty good by most reports. Aside from like Ryan Davis, I believe it was, said to him, the new shape of the triggers doesn't seem as pleasant to use as the 360 triggers, especially since they're just bigger. They're bigger and rounder now. And some people think they're more mushy than they used to be. Others don't really mind it. But in general, the reaction to the new controller is it's just the 2.0 of a pretty damn good controller, one of the best in the industry. And people seem relatively happy about it. So that's cool. Now, moving on to the Sony stuff, the next recording I'll be putting in and after this recording is our reactions immediately after the Sony press conference. So you can probably imagine we were pretty pumped. I maintain that was probably the best press conference I've ever seen. And then I've been paying attention to them since they started being uploaded to the internet. But aside from that, there is some new news regarding the PlayStation 4, and I'll be putting them here. Just so when you hear me say wrong shit during the next part, you'll at least know that, yes, we've come to realize some parts of it. So PlayStation Plus is required to play games online for the PlayStation 4. I think that's pretty shitty in that it's not giving you a choice, but having been a recent PlayStation Plus subscriber, and I believe I mentioned this really recently in one of the Scotch House episodes, I just did it because I wanted Infamous 2, and that came for free with PlayStation Plus, so whatever. Having been a subscriber for a couple months now, I'm a convert, so you're looking at the wrong place if you want me to be critical of this decision to make it mandatory for online play, because if you're playing 60 US to 100 Australian dollars for a game, and you're given a service where you're given free games every month, in addition to automatic updates and a bunch of other stuff which they're putting behind the Plus paywall, that sounds like a good deal to me, man. Like, you're paying $5 a month, you get online play, you get automatic updates, and you get a game, and they've confirmed a free game every single month, starting with Drive Club PS Plus Edition, whatever that means. I'm assuming it's just like the same game, but with fewer cars, as DLC. That's how I would do it. That sounds like a fucking great deal. So, hey, I think it's a crappy thing that you don't have a choice, but for the majority of you out there, the only people really complaining about this are the 5%. Because if you saw those stats that Sony put up on the press conference, it's a 95% satisfaction rating with PlayStation Plus, because goddamn, you get free games and all the other stuff with it. So I think the only people who are complaining about the requirement are the 5% who weren't satisfied. So I assume those are people who just never got a game they liked from PlayStation Plus, which is possible. Or the people who haven't tried PlayStation Plus. And those are the only two camps of people I can see who could be complaining about this. 95% of people who are on PlayStation Plus love PlayStation Plus. I'm definitely part of that 95%. I think it's an awesome service. So, hey, yeah, it's up to you. If you think backstabbed, if you think you were backstabbed by Sony by putting online behind a paywall, that's your prerogative. But I'd say I encourage you to try out PlayStation Plus. If you have tried out PlayStation Plus and didn't like it, sorry, but I think it's a great service. And in this case, I'll ask you to compare it to Xbox Live. Both systems are looking to have a paid online service now. If that just means you're going to be only gaming on PC, well that's your choice. And for me, at least personally, I believe made it quite clear I am a console gamer. So for me, games like Infamous and so on and so forth are enough to make me go, yeah, sure, like that. Free games, done, PlayStation Plus, and I get online play, sure. I don't use it too much, but sure. It's also interesting to note that for PS Plus, Shuhei Yoshida has been recently clarifying that free-to-play online games on the PlayStation 4, like DC Universe Online and Warframe, won't require PS Plus
to function online. So it's an interesting system there. And beyond that, I don't even have any reactions there because I'm only learning about this now before as I started recording. But beyond that, services such as Netflix and so on and so forth that you pay for already won't be behind that paywall. So they are literally only charging for PlayStation online games, not multi-platform free-to-play games and not existing services like Netflix, Hulu, and all that kind of crap. So the only thing you're actually paying for in PlayStation Plus is that. So essentially, you can fully have an offline gaming console and still have internet functionality like downloading games and playing free-to-play online games and using it for Netflix and stuff without paying any fee whatsoever, which is cool. So that's the first piece of news. The second piece of news is I'm happy to say that the PlayStation 4 will not be coming with the PlayStation Eye, which is awesome. I think they're just calling it the PlayStation 4 camera, which is, yeah, sure. It's $60 extra. I own a PlayStation Eye and a PlayStation Move and a PlayStation Move sub-controller or what the fuck they call it. I've never used them, so I'm happy I'm not paying for them again. So fuck it. Thank you, Sony, for not including that in the box. It does, the PlayStation 4 does come with a headset, and the headset is like this weird one ear off like a Sony like earbud and like an inline microphone. But the positive there is that it works by what looks like a normal 3.5 millimeter headphone jack with the extension for, as in like inline, don't worry how it works, but there's a different kind of jack which you can use, which has a 3.5 millimeter sizing to it, but includes both stereo outputs and a headset input, which is what most iPod headphones and stuff do, the ones that allow you to pick up calls. If they allow for non-proprietary 3.5 millimeter stuff, which is what Sony has been traditionally doing. Like they allowed you to connect any headset with the PlayStation 3 and so on and so forth. So they've allowed for non-proprietary stuff, then I can envision a world where I get like a proper set, a proper headset for it, like a PC equivalent or a phone equivalent headset, and plug that into that 3.5 millimeter jack. If that works perfectly, that sounds great. But what comes in the box, it seems pretty cheap. But hey, the system price is whatever. You're still getting something for free. And you didn't get that for the PlayStation 3, so hey. So that's two things. I'm also really happy to say that the PlayStation 4, after the conference was revealed, is actually smaller than the PlayStation 3. It's actually smaller than the PlayStation 3 Slim. It's actually smaller than the smallest version of the PlayStation 3 they put out. The only negative I can see there is that the only vents on that thing I can see is pretty much the entire back. Like, the back is pretty much one big vent with some spots there for cables. I'm kind of worried about heating, and if I'm not worried about heating, I'm kind of worried about noise. But again, we'll have to see how that thing is. I bet there isn't even, like, a fully functioning PlayStation 4 made at the moment. So, if there is, like, aside from prototypes. So those are potential concerns. But, like, some people call the PS3 loud, and I don't really have that problem. Yeah, so whatever. A lot of people won't even, like, it's not even an issue. It's just, like, small concerns with Nadai's pretty cool design that he's been growing on me. Like, me and Shinboy talked about it today, which is the day after the reveal. And we both admit, like, the new design for PlayStation 4 is actually kind of growing on us. Since it has some pretty sexy angles to it. As in, like, when you look at it from some particular angles, it does look pretty cool. So yeah, it's small. It's if you want a comparison, I think it was like either 33 or 65. I'm not sure what the math is on that because it depends what is the first one and what is the second one. But it's much smaller than the PlayStation, so than the Xbox One by either a factor of 33% or 65%. I think it was 33% makes way more sense. So let's just say it's way smaller than the Xbox One. It's looking like a very similar footprint, but it is obviously much thinner. It's only got two of the dimensions of the footprint are, like, one of the dimensions is larger, one of the dimensions is smaller, and the height is much lower for the PS4 than the Xbox One. So it is much smaller in terms of just sheer volume than the Xbox One, but in terms of just footprint, it's kind of give and take depending on which size, which order those three numbers were put in when I did the calculations. or when the people in the forums did the calculations, whatever. So that's that, which is awesome. Let's see, anything else in my notes? I've been taking notes all day. It only has an HDMI out, which sucks for people like Vinny, and people who'd only have component ins on their TV. So in terms of like HD outputs, you're looking at component, which is that three like red, blue, green cables. Which used with the PS3 used to support with the multi out. You no longer have a multi out socket in the back. It's just a straight up plain ass HDMI. So if for the few people out there who don't have TVs with HDMI ins or monitors with HDMI ins, I can't say anything beyond maybe you want a better TV or like a converter, but converters can be pretty expensive. At some point, if you look at like how expensive a converter can be, you may as well just get a new TV. Like at some point, unless you have a receiver. But anyway, we're off topic. So HDMI out only, smaller than a PS3 Slim, which is awesome. In terms of games, I'm really, again, happy to say that MGS5 has pretty much no exclusivity deal with Xbox at all. So it is coming to PS4. I cannot wait to play MGS5 on PS4. Then The Dark Sorcerer, which they showed in the conference, which was that really funny thing that started off as a really self-serious sort, like person casting a spell that turned into like a thing happening on a set. That was released in full today, and the graphics. Shinboy disagrees. Shinboy thinks that the Dark Sorcerer looks pretty much as good as Crysis running max settings. I think that's sure. I'll take that for a $300-$400 box. But I think actually in some ways looks better than Crysis. It's obviously a much smaller scope because what they did render was a single room, like a stage set with just that amount of detail and so on and so forth put into it. But I thought with the character models, the animations, I think that game looks fucking amazing. The hair still doesn't look as good on that engine that Quantic Dream put together than it does on like NVIDIA tech demos and Lara Croft, the game when running an ATI card. I think hair on PC games still look better now, but I think faces, at least in that demo, look better than they do in Crysis, in my opinion. Sometimes, in some moments, if you watch that demo, it's kind of stupid to say, because I said the same thing in some of the FMV of Metal Gear Solid 4 when that came out, but some of that shit looks real. I'm going to say it again, even though I'm probably wrong, but some of that shit looks really convincing and really real. It's definitely got a moment. It's definitely because of the new, like the resurgence or the continuing growth of motion capture and the fineness of motion capture, performance capture, that kind of stuff. Like if you see actors with dots in like high density all over their faces, the amount of data they're putting into these games now and just the amount of expression those faces can have, it's becoming really believable. The uncanny valley effect I describe at some point, I think I describe it here in this recording I'm putting in next, but the uncanny valley effect in there, I do not hear. I don't feel anymore. I feel that most of that's done. Sometimes I just think that thing looks real. It's crazy. Some of those characters from particular shots look like real people. The animation though isn't quite there yet. There aren't enough points and muscle groups of articulation in the faces. Sometimes they can look like their faces aren't just gesturing enough, but that game looks amazing. Aside from that, my pick of the show today would be Infamous Second Son, but it shouldn't be surprising. Pick of the overall show so far is still Metal Gear Solid 5, especially since it's coming to PS4. I'm fucking so sold on that game. And with that, let's cut to the recording of us pretty much celebrating after that freaking historic PlayStation press conference. Oh my god!
I am in so much pain because of how awesome this is.
Jack Trenton probably just walked off the stage and just started jacking off everywhere.
The chat on GameSpot.
Can we just go right into it? Like, hello and welcome to the Scotchcast.
Whatever. Like, we this is our reactions. I'm not sure how I'm going to stitch this together. It might go before. It might go after. It might go during the Scotchcast when we put it up this week. Fuck it. That was me just coming off the Sony press conference.
Holy shit.
That, sir, is how you win a console generation.
Man, I thought I wasn't going to get a console.
We're back.
You're it's not, how you you're win. Experience.
They just showed people you know what? How
I'm
to
not,
win.
I'm not gonna lie. Like after seeing what Microsoft did, and then seeing what Sony's done, I know you guys are gonna laugh, but like in all honesty, Nintendo actually kind of has a chance this generation.
Given yeah, I mean to finish second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pre-orders are up on Amazon. I'm gonna get one.
Like are holy they? Shit. $3.99. $3.99.
The page is down.
No anything. No restriction. It's just like the online's still free. PlayStation Plus is still $60 a year. We're getting PlayStation Plus games. Online play is free.
Prediction. First off, the one downside. I just want to point out. I know. Just we're the Lincoln Cast, so we're always negative. One downside is PlayStation Network that you go to get free game, like you know, free games per month, and probably now with that Sony, like the Sony guy, you're going to be getting like Sony Music and movies. So like I basically dubbed it Sony Flicks.
Yep.
You have to buy that if you want to play multiplayer. $5 a month though.
Yeah. Let's have a look. But I mean,
I'll have to use a card system because I don't trust them with my credit card. But I'm sure they will provide a way.
Yeah, I mean, you probably just buy like a year's worth.
Yeah,
Amazon pre-order doesn't even require you to put money down, does it? It's just
straight up. No, it doesn't charge you till it ships, which is why I just grabbed one.
Yeah, might as well. All right, I'll be back.
But yeah, do we just want to go? First off,
I'm just making sure that because I heard it as if online was not behind the paywall because he first listed what was behind PlayStation Plus, then he separately listed what was free, and it was confusing. But I read it as online does not have.
See, the nice thing about this is Sony is still offering press conferences like tomorrow and all that.
Yeah, they're doing more.
So we can get clarification.
I'm waiting for someone to post a story. Giant Bomb's down. Giant Bomb's just completely down now.
Giant Bomb's crashed.
It's just down. I can't get onto it anymore. Fuck.
Holy shit! Yeah, it's not loading.
Well, I mean, they tweeted it's down.
Let's have a look.
That is awesome. Yeah, Twitch was going down.
Yeah,
I wasn't
GameSpot
sure if it
went
was
down on Twitch for a while.
I wasn't sure if it was the actual PS4 or it was Twitch, and a little bit of both, apparently.
Yeah, it was pretty much only game trailers was rock solid for the whole press conference.
Can we just start with initial impressions as the thing was starting? I know
Okay, so first of all, they started 17 minutes late. And for
they
me,
17 minutes late,
which I was like, oh god, that's bad news. I was like, oh my god, if they're...
No. What happened was they had to change all of the $4.99s to $3.99.
Yeah, that's... I wouldn't believe it. I think that was a down-to-the-wire decision.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know, because you don't just go, we're going to lose money. Like I bet $3.99 was definitely an option on the table from the start. I think if they were just going pure knee jerk, it would have been $4.49. I think they came into it with the idea of $3.99.
I was hoping for $2.99, but I didn't think it would be possible. But I was really hopeful.
I don't think they would go $2.99 because that's the same price as a PlayStation 3, and they still want to sell those models.
PlayStation 3 is a $2.99, man. But
but PS3 should go down to $1.99, and then the PS4
kind of is. It's coming with GTA 5 now, right? And that's
here's a prediction. Game. Xbox will reply with the subscription model and get $3.49.
Well, they have to. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
So Jeff just posted that me and Vinny are up front. It was nuts. People were jumping up and down like an old Nintendo press conference.
That was like
that's okay. Fucking good.
It's all right. Sony has the stagecraft down to a science, an art.
They have the Jack Trenton down to a stagecraft.
Yes.
I mean.
So here's
at least
a question:
we know why they have so many TVs?
Would it have been just as good if let's say Xbox didn't like or Microsoft didn't fucking bone it, all right? And Sony did what they did. Yeah. Would it have been just as good, or would it have been kind of like okay on par? I mean, how do you feel if they wouldn't announced all that other bullshit?
What do you mean if Xbox
if Microsoft didn't say that hey we're gonna fucking shove it up your ass essentially with all their shit?
Yeah,
would have Sony's and Xbox's press conference been just as good?
Okay,
no.
You don't know Sony? Explain some of the things that Microsoft is doing.
So last Thursday,
to this podcast.
Last Thursday, Microsoft released a press release. I'm recording. Microsoft is releasing a press released a press release which essentially outlined their DRM strategy for the Xbox One, which outlined that you have to be there's online check-ins every 24 hours. You cannot trade the use games. You cannot rent games. You cannot lend games. You can only give games. You can. What else was there? It was insanity. Oh yeah, all games are installed to your hard drive on like.
Well, and you can only give the game. You can only give the game once.
You can only give the game once.
And 1 hour, it's like a 1 hour check-in or something like that.
1 hour check-in if you're not playing on your own console.
Yeah.
It was, you had to have your friend on your friend list for 30 days to even be able to give them your game in the first place. And essentially, the immediate response to that was from half of the audience, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever. And the other half of the audience was saying, well, Sony's going to do the same thing. And almost every person in the press, like, I can't think of anyone, except for the 8-4 guys on the 8-4 podcast, who were like, nah, Sony doesn't have to. Like, if they wanted to, they can just totally say, fuck you guys, we're going to go consumer-friendly. But the overall, like, impression of the entire industry coming to this event was the vast majority of people were expecting bad news. We were expecting...
Like, yeah. When the Sony rep, like the CEO of Sony proper, got on the stage, I thought, like, oh no, are they actually trying to counter Sony instead of just, you know, judoing it? Like, please let them judo it and do their own thing. Glad they did. But like, you know, trying to go head to head with like, oh, like Xbox is showing TV, we can do movies and music and stuff too.
Yeah, that was like the low point of the press conference. The movies shit, I was like, I was like, oh god, they've run out of shit to show us. This is gonna be the worst thing ever.
even then, they're applying to the greater audience. I'm assuming that this has potential to be like, you know, okay, you can watch movies no matter what country you're in,
mm-hmm.
like no matter it's and like even music.
So much
and all
of
that
was so good. Like he was like, we're going to be having live sports events, but they'll be available like individualized to countries. So I will probably not need to watch the American golf bullshit. Like I can watch like Australia equivalent of Australia, like V8 supercars or whatever it is if it's in Australia, which they've been doing in the past, so they have a track record, so I actually believe them when they fucking say it. And so but even then it was that was after like the crazy Squaresoft announcement, wasn't it? Let me check.
I know this is a bit impromptu, but do we just want to go around the table just like, oh, hi, it's me, Thurbleton.
Oh yeah, that's Thurbleton. I'm Selkvest Cynic. Squiddle's joining me today. Hey Squiddle.
Hello.
Durin, is he still here? No, he's probably AFK. Shinboy630, are you still here?
He's AFK. He's a beer back.
All right, cool.
I just want to say I'm six beers in after watching this, and I am still stoked.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's jumping. So that's pretty much like what Xbox had done and why our initial feelings towards the Sony thing.
Well, it was... So Sony... You're right. They pretty much stagecrafted the fuck out of it. It wasn't like a pure, from the start to end, really obvious that they were going to do everything that they did. Like,
no, it was just, it was a circus show. Just one thing after the other. Hey, yeah. check this out. Cool thing.
Like Microsoft was like, oh, we have 20 games at a conference, but I wrote down everything that was at the PS4 game. And almost every page of my writing is top to bottom game. It was just literally.
I will email you this notepad thing, Cynic, because I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it. But my first thing, Jack Trenton, like, this might just be him acting, but he seemed kind of humbled at the beginning.
He was... Is that normal? Jack Trenton is a pretty fly and loose kind of guy. Like, he's very, he's the guy who always comes up and goes, he's nervous. Like, he admits to the audience that he's nervous. And in this case, he definitely stumbled. He definitely made some, like, he misspoke a couple times. He was not pitch perfect. And that just makes... That's why I like Jack Trenton. That's why he's the rawest dude in the fucking industry. Because he just knows. He's just himself.
I just want to say right now that Jeff Gerstmann has tweeted that Giant Bomb is down at this point. Probably because of everybody flooding there to get the latest information.
So. Yep. Okay, I'm going to have to... I'm moving my mic, so hopefully I'll be a bit clearer on the recording. I'm going to have to...
Yeah, I can switch to headphones if my auto's coming like,
you
weird.
You should
He's not fine, I think. Okay. He's not fine.
So essentially, they started with PS3 and Vita, which is understandable.
It's a good start.
I
get that.
It wasn't a good start,
but
it was understandable.
They first time for Vita, quality. I mean, like, Walking Dead. My note is, now you can make horrible life decisions while riding the bus.
Exactly. I think, well, The Walking Dead has worked and been proven to work on iOS platforms. So it's a great game for the Vita. It'll work.
It's going to be on all of, like, PC, Xbox, but they're going for Vita. Cool. They actually got that license, and they were the first ones to reveal that. That's cool. Yeah.
And they showed the fact that they're having Last of Us this week, and obviously that's going to be awesome. Beyond Two Souls. I have a couple of concerns about Beyond Two Souls and the fact that they've shifted their marketing from the supernatural stuff to her going to boot camp and shit. But whatever, it still looks like a pretty cool game, and the other stuff is still there, so it's going to be interesting.
I didn't feel like they had to, that Sony didn't have to shove it down the throats of people like Microsoft did with their Glass.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like every other thing was like, hey, and you can do it on Glass. You can do this on Glass.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, there's a Vita. You can interact with shit on this, you know, this console. Hey, go at it, you know?
The cool thing is, I'm sure there's going to be more than a handful of games that are going to be indie, just stupid indie games that will be with the Glass.
Yeah.
I expect that. That's going to happen.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, but Microsoft trying to force smart glass as a term down our throats. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to talk about the Ubisoft stuff later. But so first things up, PS3 Vita, decent showing from both. More Vita than I was actually expecting, so I'm pretty happy about that. But it still wasn't anything. There was nothing system selling about the Vita. It was just it's the Vita. It's still the Vita. No price cut, but whatever. I don't care. They definitely made up for it as the press conference.
They're still working with it. That's admirable. They're still giving. Yeah. They're still pushing for it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And we'll get there, but the eventual features are announced to come to Vita as well, which is kind of cool. Then Andrew House came out, and that's when the shit started getting real, because that's when PS4 talk started. And let's see what I have here. They showed the console, first thing up. Okay. I think it looks okay. I don't think it looks great.
Yeah, I wish but they were a little bit more flashy, like Microsoft did kind of with it, and had like a little press box that everyone can like take pictures with.
Yeah.
But if they would have done that, then awesome. But they kind of just did like a little, hey, here you go, and tossed it aside.
You know what's the coolest thing?
I'm sure during the press events tomorrow, they'll let people take pictures.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely.
There's already press photos that have gone out to all the press. So they already posted them in IGN and stuff.
What would be hilarious is if they just had like a shell of one that they just like handed out to be like, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cute. But
like, you know, if you're in a crowd, they just kind of throw it down there like a balloon, you know, and everyone's just like tossing it back.
You know what the absolute thing?
It's anybody who hasn't seen it yet. It's like, what would you describe it as?
It's a parallelogram.
Nintendo.
It's a parallelogram. It's a parallelogram prism. So
I have like my notes are sleek trapezoid, rhombus. Tron look.
It almost seems like a callback to the PlayStation 2.
It's such a callback to the PlayStation 2.
They didn't outright say this, but I mean, like what we saw image wise, it's standing tower wise, it's standing on one end.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they'll let it so you can stand on its side. Too.
So you can see the pictures in the press stuff. It needs a stand, I believe. It looks like it needs a stand to stand on its side, but fuck it. That was always like a feature that some people use, but not many don't. And they're still supporting it. Like, so.
The Xbox,
but that's like the PS2. The PS2 was it could be slanted or you could lay it down.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like doing kind of the same design aspect with
exactly.
It.
Well, no, but I mean like with the Xbox One, they're like, no, it has to be
it has to be lying down. It's like at every point Sony went, hey, can we break?
However you can fit it in your living room.
Exactly. Like they were like, hey, can we break? We could break with tradition and take away functionality, or we could just leave it there. And at every point, they left it there. And I know that no one wants to buy a stand separate, but they're doing it. They're allowing people to have a standing on the side. And the best part of the whole thing was they introduced the adorable Asian man who designed the thing.
Yes. My notes are humble designer, awesome.
That was so cool. And he came out and he bowed, and then they handed the thing to him.
I thought it was funny when he said, okay, bow. Like, I don't remember who said it, but he's like, bow.
Yeah.
I'm going to force you to bow right now. Bow at me.
Because the dude was like, he had no idea what to do. He was like totally freaking out, standing there, like shaking. And he just like, bow. And then the guy like just started bowing, and he handed him the console, and he stood there and like posed with the console for a second and like wandered off stage. Oh man, that was adorable. So what do you guys think of the design? I think I like it, but
it's a little big, but I mean, then again,
it's smaller. It's definitely smaller than the Xbox One.
I like the Xbox One's design.
Yeah,
to be honest,
right.
More than the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else the PS4 has done has sold me on it, so I'm not gonna say Xbox One's better on that aspect. But I do like the design of the PS1.
The thing that's my favorite thing about the PS4 design versus the Xbox One design, it has USB ports on the motherfucking front. You know where you fucking want them.
Yeah.
It's a very slightly different black box than the other one. Very slightly, barely.
Well, yeah.
This one had an LED blue line across it. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a Ryan Davis tweet. Top.
Here you go. I've posted the IGN images of it.
Nice.
It looks good from the side, but obviously that's kind of pointless because you don't really look at your shit from the side. Anyway, whatever. From the front, it just looks like a rectangle, which is kind of what you want from the console. And it comes with their connecting as well.
I like the slant to it too.
It's growing on me. Some angles are ugly, some angles are pretty, and that's the weird thing. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I would have liked if they had the slant so when you're looking at it, you can tell it's slanted.
Right.
Because if you're looking at it straight on, you really can't tell. And I mean, I guess you can tell, but if it's dark where you're putting it, you can't tell it. And I would like for it to be more like an accent piece for how awesome the system has approached itself and put itself out there to kind of be like that aesthetic, like, we are slanted. It is pretty short.
Like, it's not a huge console. It's deep and it's kind of wide, but it's like thin, which is kind of awesome.
It's a gaming system. It has put itself towards. I am not going to be a personal computer as mm-hmm. the Xbox One has put it. Yeah. I am a gaming system, so exactly. I don't have to look like a box that you have on your desk. I'm kind of unique, and that's kind of how they went with it.
Also awesome. There are no vents on the top, so you can put shit on it. Like, it's just every time they could have gone. We can be a nuisance or be awesome. They chose awesome, which is kind
of
awesome.
They never show the back of it, but I'm just hoping that there's component.
I don't know about that. I don't know. Because I don't know if there's a component, to be honest.
To make Vinny happy.
There you go. To make Vinny happy, I hope it has a component, but whatever.
Anything I can do to make Vinny happy.
All right, so that was the box. It's a box. I like it. Some people think it looks better. What was that, Chimboy? You like it or you don't like it?
I like the box.
I like the box as well. I like it. It's growing on me. It's like a woman who's like decently attractive but has an excellent personality.
So are you saying the blue light that hopefully glows is the decent personality?
I'm hoping to be able to turn that off, to be honest, because if that's on while I'm watching a Blu-ray, then that's really distracting.
Looking at it, it's a really dark color. I don't think it's something that's gonna like brightly shine up your room or anything like that. Just looking at these pictures.
Either way, it actually
almost looks purple in some of these pictures.
Yeah. It's weird. But I like it. So then it went on to, I can barely remember. I was writing notes so fast, I can barely read my writing. Let's have a look. Sony. Oh God. Then it was Sony Pictures.
Yeah. Because this was right after,
so it was all uphill from here. This felt like it was in the middle of the conference and took like 10 minutes, but it was way early in the conference.
It was just after the reveal.
It hadn't even been 30 minutes in. It was under 30 minutes when the guy came up. He announced some new bullshit like stuff going to be made exclusively for PSN. The interesting like new content distribution services that are coming to the PSN. Sure, whatever. Then Shuhei Yoshida comes up. I am so happy that they had a Japanese man on stage.
Oh, that's adorable.
Being awesome and just introducing
bubbly ass Japanese cool dude.
Yeah. Yes.
Reminds me that
he was the chibi of the night.
Yeah, he was great. And then he made the announcement, 12 new IPs. So one and a half. They said that for a purpose. Like they said that just to
apparently,
go.
Apparently, you guys.
What's up?
PS Plus is required for multiplayer.
Okay.
But stuff like Netflix and stuff is not behind the paywall.
Oh, holy shit, sweet.
Wow.
Interesting.
According to what Total Biscuit was tweeting, but
everyone's confused. I'm going to wait till the press release on this one. I don't mind that because Xbox One is bad.
When you say not behind the press wall, does that mean like the price is not... Okay, so the paywall. So whatever price it is per month, per year, you're saying that
PS4.
What is it? No,
PS4?
What am I thinking of?
PlayStation Plus?
What's
Netflix?
Netflix is not included in that price.
No, what they're saying is...
Squiddle. What, like, here's one of the issues of Netflix behind, like, for Xbox, for example.
Okay.
That whole thing is outlawed in some European countries because the idea of, like, well, no, it wasn't Netflix, but it was,
well, how,
like,
it works is you have to be a live subscriber. Yeah, well, you have to be a live subscriber in Xbox. You have to pay for online access to be able to access Netflix, for example, which is an entirely different
what?
Service.
You have to pay for it.
That's, yeah, you have to pay existing. For the internet. You have to pay for Xbox account, and then you have to pay Netflix.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's bullshit.
So
I did not know that.
In this case, if it is true that online multiplayer is behind the paywall, then what's his face? Netflix is – you don't have to have that. So even if you don't subscribe to online play at all, so you can be a single-player console, you can still run Netflix free of charge and that kind of shit. Free of charge.
Okay, I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and again, at the stage, I'm still waiting for the press release to detail whether online is behind the paywall or not. We'll see. Because it was really confusing. Like, he's whatever. Anyway, so then he listed sort of that out. Like,
let's move on from that.
There was just so much information.
So 12 new IPs
in like 2 hours.
Yoshida announced. Let's see. In Engine. What the fuck is this? Oh, Sony. They announced this one of the Sony Santa Monica games, which is The Order 1886, which looked okay. Whatever. Like, it was the Bend Studios
that
one,
was pretty cool.
Not like the core Sony Santa Monica. So we don't actually know what Sony Santa Monica is actually working on. But Bend Studios is doing like what looks like a co-op monster hunting, not like Monster Hunter. I'm talking about like Van Helsing-esque.
Oh, you mean The
werewolves.
Order?
Yeah, The Order 1886. Yeah.
Yeah, The Order looked good. I mean, I like that a lot.
Yeah, well, I went like Hellgate London, but
yeah,
it was demons and sky bats.
Yeah,
that's what I felt like.
Fucking werewolves.
Yeah, and they're a proven. They did pretty good work on the PSP, so we'll see what they can do with this. Then they made probably one of the best decisions they made in terms of pacing, in that they were like, hey, so we know that we showed you those four titles last time, so we're definitely going to release new footage of them and new playthroughs of them, but we're just going to post them to Facebook, go over there if you want to see it, we're not going to waste time with this conference on shit we've already announced. And I was like, yeah, these guys know what the fuck. These guys know what they're doing. I haven't looked at them yet, but that Infamous footage they showed, like, because after that they showed like a short sizzle reel of all four titles. Infamous looks freaking awesome. The others look, they look as expected.
Yeah, and the thing I liked about a lot of it is that they kind of said, hey, here's, you know, three or four games. We're going to show you them back to back. We're not going to do audio interruption between them.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the view, enjoy the game, and, you know, feel what you want to feel.
Yeah,
and I like.
Totally agreed. And then he announced that Killzone is going to be at launch. Drive Club is going to be at launch. Knack is going to be at launch.
Drive Club.
Yeah, Drive Club is going to be at launch. Knack is going to be at launch. And Infamous is going to be Q1 2014. So that's pretty cool. So then from there,
and then
my
I
favorite
really
demo of the night. Sorry?
The old guy tech demo is a Quantic Dream tech
demo.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah, I was like, hey, I recognize that old dude from somewhere.
And then I have in next
that was
in
so
caps,
good.
So meta.
That was so. It's called the Dark Sorcerer, and it appears to. You never know with Quantic Dream because they
is
sometimes.
That actually a game?
Well, sometimes they show things. Like, for example, if you guys don't remember, when Heavy Rain came out, they had this tech demo of a chick in a kitchen who was like just doing a monologue with a gun, and at the end she points his gun at her head. That was not used in Heavy Rain. That was like a tech
demo. There was also that other tech demo with the android chick.
The android chick, yeah. The awesome one, the only one I want them to make a game from, but they're not going to touch it. So that, in this case, it seems like it's either a tech demo or a game they're working on. We're not sure, but it was really funny. I found it absolutely hilarious. I thought that the start with him casting the spell was like the right kind of self-serious, and then everything from the twist was hilarious. Like, good British acting, but mainly, holy shit, did that game look good. Like, that tech demo looked amazing. Like, oh, damn.
And I love tech demos, and I thought it was going to be like the normal tech demo where they kind of show you graphics, they show you know, close-ups and not. And then all of a sudden, just a fucking curveball out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, cut script. I mean, the guy breaks with green screens. I was just, that just like, was awesome.
That was high-fiveable.
I was actually like with the whole, like, okay, the old guy looks good. Pan over to that goblin is like, whoa, that is a pretty shitty model for a goblin. And then just that remark at the end, it's like, okay, I like the goblin again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
well, welcome to hell.
I remember saying, like, if you listen back to our reactions to the PlayStation 4 reveal, I remember specifically saying that head would have been impressive only if they'd included it with like the environment around it, because just seeing the head is kind of useless. But in this time, it is that same head with what looked to be that same amount of quality rendered in a fully realized environment with lighting and other shit on screen. And that was,
It looked good. It didn't look like amazing, but it looked good.
I thought it looked amazing.
It looked damn good.
I thought it looked
well. And they based it on, you know, feeling the emotion of the person from their face and their facial features right before the tech demo came out. And I really felt like I was watching him and it felt like a movie. You know, you could read his facial features, how he was feeling when he was chanting and calling things out. And it, I mean, I was shocked.
There was one weird, I entirely agree with you, but there was only like one weird thing which I noticed, which is like, it seemed to be like a dividing line between the, somewhere in the top half, just below his scalp. It's as if like the face was mo-capped and then mapped onto a model, but we couldn't,
What bothered me was that like, a lot of times when people do facial stuff, which is the same problem that Ellen Ware had, is that the faces look really good. And everything else looks not as good, so the faces look kind of bad.
Yeah.
I was getting a little bit of that.
I was getting a little bit of that. But, and even crazier, I was getting some Uncanny Valley, because at some moments, it did look really close to real. And so I was definitely getting like the weird like Uncanny Valley feeling, which I haven't had for quite a while, because I've forgotten what that feels like.
The only thing that I got that was the Watch Dogs CG trailer that came out yesterday.
Right.
The woman with the chain that went from her nose to her ear.
Yep.
She looked kind of like a robot, and that she's like a super realistic robot, and that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Anyway, so then from there, I love that demo. Motherfucking.
It was indie time.
Adam motherfucking Boyle's friend of the Giant Bomb site on the stage, and then he introduces another friend of the Giant Bomb site, Greg Kasavin, Transistor.
On a side note, super nice guy. I got to talk to him. And the dude that that was with him, he was like at the head of the Transistor line at PAX East. Yeah. And my roommate, Keith, you guys know him from Mumble in the background.
Yep.
He had an in-depth conversation with him about Dota while in line to play Transistor at PAX.
And they were really just anyway, right there on center stage on the Sony press conference. Greg must have because Greg would have probably covered the Sony press conference back in the day. Go ahead.
All the love they're giving for indie developers. Like, dude. They're giving, like, time on their stage. Dude. They're giving, like,
It was
a screen each, just have them up on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so well done, because, like, one person, and then another screen would light up and be another guy playing freaking PS4, and then another one playing PS4, and another one playing PS4. Awesome. And when they zoomed out, it was like 8 or 10 of them all lined up, all playing their PS4.
This just in, that Transistor trailer, still fucking amazing.
Still good. And yeah, I can forgive it being the same trailer, but yeah,
it's super giant. We're used to them doing the same thing at every convention. And I'm okay with it.
But even though it's like, well, it's an indie game.
What was surprising is I did not see that. I mean, I know Shin played it at PAX East, and I did not. And watching the trailer, I really enjoyed what they showed. And again, for me, the music, blown away. Love the music.
Spectacular.
I got my absolutely spectacular music. Postcard. I got my Transistor postcard signed by both Greg Kasavin and Darren Korb.
I'm not sure
there's something that can be taken from this, but I was just kind of looking through my email while we were talking here and noticed that I received at 10:07 an email from Amazon letting me know that PS4 was now available for pre-order.
It wasn't before.
I received no such email for the Xbox.
Weird.
I received no such email for either.
Can you send that out to everybody that's on here?
So you have, it was Don't Starve, Memory Cogs, or Kegs, Octodad, which is funny, Secret Something.
Before that, before they announced those games, self-publish.
Oh yeah, they reaffirmed. PlayStation. They announced that before, but they reaffirmed here, self-publishing, totally a thing in PlayStation 4.
Which people don't know, it's like that is possibly or definitely not a thing on Xbox.
Yeah, it's confirmed that you need a publisher to publish onto the Xbox One. Like, again, at every turn, this industry is dividing in two, with Sony and Nintendo going one direction and Microsoft going another. And I just don't.
Well, no, it seems like Sony's going the way of like getting the crowd and the fans.
Yep. Yep.
And be damned what the AAA publishers think. Mm-hmm. If they don't like want it, then like they aren't going to be able to.
And what are they going to do?
They're going to make their games for their system.
Yeah. What are they going to do? It's $3.99. It's going to sell more than the Xbox One. I'm going to call that right fucking now. Obviously, it's going to sell more. And obviously, the publishers have to jump on board because they're going to be the biggest. They're going to be the dominant console. And
it's, maybe, it's funny because maybe not in America, but it will sell worldwide more.
Yeah.
Sony, I guess in this case, sort of owns. I mean, you could see them. It's not definite, mm-hmm. but you could see them sort of owning the publishers because you can infer from just what we saw today that they're going to have the larger market share.
Yeah.
So they're sort of bossing publishers around.
Yeah. Like how it used to be, like the origins of console gaming, the publishers answer to the console makers, not the other way around. And if the publishers want to fuck over consumer rights, Sony and Nintendo have freaking stood up and said, no, we're going to fucking, well, we get to there. Anyway.
Well, I mean, Nintendo would not screw over the only company that publishes for Nintendo consoles, as in themselves.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So then I guess I'm the only one here who just went gaga. Square Enix came on and announced.
No, I was so happy.
Not only Final Fantasy Versus 13 renamed as 15 for the PlayStation 4.
So I don't owe you your copy of that game.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I mean, I'm not like unexcited. It's like my notes are like, you know, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Love for Japan, for the home country. Mm-hmm. Pay respects, but cut to the trailer. I mean, it's.
Yeah,
he's like, "Hey guys!" As I'm talking,
I
we're liked fading what I out saw. To cut to the trailer.
I very much
like. Yeah, what I well, saw. Not even that, but it was like, after all this fucking time,
yep.
And what we get is, oh, here's we don't have time to really talk about it right now, but you know, here's a trailer, guys, check it out.
To be fair,
here's a trailer for three.
Like, games. I feel like okay, we're gonna see this game in 2015, 2016 at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, I don't trust them at all. But see, it's good to hear exists. Yeah.
And I've never played Kingdom Hearts before. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to 1.5.
Chat lost their shit. Chat lost their shit when Kingdom Hearts 3 was announced.
Humble
it was
chat lost shit.
It was
yo
insane.
Revan left Mumble.
Yeah, he did. Like he was gone, like a fucking ghost.
He probably just went to go run around.
People were going insane. Like I have no understanding of why anyone cares, but people seem to care.
I was super excited. That's one of the reasons I'm pre-ordering the damn thing, mm-hmm. regardless of when that game actually comes out.
Mm-hmm.
When they were showing Sora standing on the beach, I'm thinking to myself, this looks a bit too good to be like an HD re-release.
Yeah, it's like, huh, that's weird. And then. Yeah, straight up, Kingdom Hearts 3 coming to the PlayStation 4.
See,
I bet they're
multi-platform. By that point in this whole presentation, once I saw that was clearly Kingdom Hearts, I knew that was going to be 3 because
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
leaked image that kind of went out a while back.
Yep,
called literally every single thing that was on here.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much, which is kind
of
crazy.
With the exception of Dead Rising 3, Dead Rising 3 was supposed to have been a part of all of this, but instead it was...
Right. Well, things changed at the last minute, yeah. Yeah. Final Fantasy 14 is so Kingdom Hearts 3 and Versus 13. Everyone's excited. Well, apparently, a shitload of the world.
A lot of people are.
The shitload of the world suddenly just lost their minds because yeah, because people were like
down for a bit.
Because people were like, 15 will be announced, but or Kingdom Hearts 3 might be announced, but not both. And they did both back to back, which is kind of crazy. I'm calling that they're probably going to be multi-platform though, because they didn't specify it's exclusive here. So I think it's very likely.
No, 15 is.
15 is produced by Sony, I think. Oh, is it originally?
Like, I'm pretty sure the dude said straight up console exclusive to PS3.
For PS4 or PS3.
I mean PS4.
PS4.
Excuse me.
Well, we'll see. They'll clarify tomorrow either way. Then we have. Oh, then they did the pretty cool Assassin's Creed 4 demo, which
I
fucked up.
I absolutely love that, though. I mean,
that was really cool. Other than the very unfortunate into it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there thinking to myself, why does this have to be an Assassin's Creed game?
I'm sold. I'm so
like,
sold.
Why
on that game.
Is this an Assassin's Creed?
But more importantly,
I would buy it if it wasn't.
Not only did it look good, but the frame rate was rock solid. And AA on
aside
everything. Aside from the freezes, and AA on everything. That sells me on that game.
Which
so
you know
hard.
What? At least, if nothing else, like the fact that it froze like it did, That was a live stage demo.
Live demo froze.
Yeah, I mean,
that was not a video.
I don't care. Played. I don't care that it froze. They're bold enough to do it. It shows that Sony's lots of work, but they're working on. Like, it's out there.
It's live. Sony didn't fucking mess around.
Like pre-alpha software on a dev kit.
Exactly. They didn't fuck around. They just fucking put live motherfucking demos on the stage. Shit was coming in hot. I bet so much of. I noted at, in the front of my thing.
Can I just say something? Can we just like. Have like a box somewhere that just has like PS4 demo shit was coming in hot self-confessing like, as a quote somewhere.
Like it, if you guys didn't notice at the start of the press conference there was a delay on the slides, which means that the slides were done by hand manually, not pre-recorded, which means they had barely any time to rehearse this thing and get timings down, so they actually had to have a dude changing slides in the background. Oh my god, everything was... This shit was coming in hot. This whole press conference came in hot and raw. Like, it was... like that's why no one knew what the fuck was going to happen before this. That's why there was no leaks for, like, almost any of this shit, aside from the image that was leaked, like, you guys pointed out. It was just raw. So
Sony knows their stagecraft.
Sony knows their stagecraft. So, definitely. Assassin's Creed, I thought it looked awesome. It was pretty cool.
I really want the game to have regenerating health for the ship.
For the ship, yeah, that was scary. Because if you lose a ship like that, because his ship died.
Perfect for Assassin's Creed.
His ship died at the end, and I don't want that. I want my ship to be all pretty and regenerating. And the good thing was, like, when the demos died, they just went like, "Fuck it," and cut to Watch Dogs. It wasn't like a weird, like, offhand bullshit thing like Microsoft did with their demo went weird, and everyone was confused on stage. They just cut. Like, okay, next demo. Watch Dogs came out. What do you guys think of Watch Dogs? I think it's finally a game.
Watch Dogs. Cool Dogs. Love it.
They did a lot more of showing off all the different toys you can do in the game.
Yeah, it's finally a game. It's you could see the interface. You could see how he's interacting with stuff.
Seemed like one of the few times they mentioned like, hey, you can use smart glass without actually just even saying it.
Yeah. We were saying this before.
That's like a lifeline or something.
So much
from like the billionaire, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? It's just like, hey, I'm going to see if somebody wants to answer this lifeline.
Help me. I mean, that game makes me want to take my phone out while I'm playing and like do the hacking motions on my phone while I play the game.
I feel like that demo sort of made me less excited. I don't know why.
You're crazy. Like, that's why.
I don't know. It's like. I don't know whether it's less that demo or more that I'm just like more excited for everything else.
Yeah, because it had some tough company stuff. It had some tough.
Like it of the new games, like the next gen games, we are seeing the most of Watch Dogs. So it might just be like
this is the fourth time we've seen it.
There's so many more.
I know what this is,
but I agree. It's the fourth time we see it. It's relatively boring now. My only notes were shit that AA because again. I'm so happy everything had AA all over the motherfucker. A little bit weird textures on some stuff. I'm not sure if I'm wholly there with some of the texture design, but the game looks solid. Was running at a solid frame rate, and finally it's a game because we could see what the basic gameplay was
anyway,
like.
So.
Yeah. So then they showed NBA 2K whatever. I went to have a bathroom
video
break.
Video James?
I just went. I was like, okay, NBA. I left. Went to the toilet.
Video James.
Was it a good demo? I saw like the stupid shit with the dude on one side of the screen and his graphical equivalent.
It was awkward.
Yeah, that was weird. Nightmares.
That was weird. Then
at least they didn't have him like on stage while doing it.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, that's yeah. Then Elder Scrolls Online. I could not give less of a fuck.
I was really hoping for that game. I really was, but it didn't look as impressive. As I was hoping it would be.
I've never been confident in that game. So
I do like how they're like, okay, how can we beat the Skyrim like crowd from Xbox?
Mm.
They'll just make they'll just put the Skyrim MMO on the game.
Yeah.
Or on the PS4. And hopefully that'll work great with like their whole like the connectivity and PlayStation HUD and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping it works out great. I don't know.
So then
I just want to say I think Bungie did a better job at showing.
Oh yeah, like a fucking.
We'll get there.
Okay, I know. I just want to throw that out there right now.
So next was the bait and switch of the day, which was I thought this was going to be Fallout 4, but ended up being Mad Max.
Yeah.
So, sure.
Yeah, that was weird.
Do you guys, anyone care about Mad Max? I think it's a whatever. I don't give a shit.
I was Twisted Metal.
It's never had its own game, and
it's true.
I think it's interesting that they would resurrect that old IP of a movie.
It's made by Avalanche Studios. Aren't those the
Just Cause guys?
So it might be good.
Yeah,
it might actually be good.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could be pretty dumb.
If there's a grappling hook that I can hook to a tree and then have my car swing around, yes, I'm sold.
Yes, it could be pretty cool. And now with 40, I assumed it was going to be 2 hours long. It ended up being a little bit shorter than that. But
thank you for shopping with us. We'd like to let you know that Amazon has received your order and is preparing it for shipment.
So 1 hour 20 minutes in, the megaton started dropping because Jack motherfucking Tretton got on stage.
I would say that Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts 3 are megatons.
Well, yeah,
for a vast majority of people.
Yes,
but this was like megatons on industry level.
This was like you know, making the decisions for everybody on what system they're going to buy.
Yeah, this was proving everybody wrong. This is proving that Sony knows what the fuck is going down. It was proving that they were listening to feedback the entire time and underscored their entire approach to the console. And as you guys said, it's pretty much, it might win them the console generation. Just this one thing might win them the whole console generation.
He dropped the fucking bomb on everybody.
Yeah.
And it was great.
This is when they started just taking direct shots at Microsoft.
Yeah.
Well, they started off not quite as direct, and then eventually.
Yeah, he was like,
you can't get,
he was like, the user's important to the PlayStation brand, and we respect the consumers.
They started with essentially, your disc is your disc. You can do what you want with it. You can loan it to a friend. You can resell it to a person. Yep. You can resell it to, GameStop, whatever you want to do.
Yep.
And then they followed that up with disc-based games don't have to connect online to play or require any type of authentication.
Mm-hmm.
The PlayStation 4 required check-in online.
Yep.
And then the fucking final nail in the coffin, aside from the price, was that your PS4 won't stop working if you haven't authenticated within 24 hours.
They just pretty much went no offline check-in. And after that, he was just essentially clarifying, because he was just like, that literally, means...
The 24-hour thing, that was their direct dig at Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everything else was just clarification.
Yeah.
Like, of course you can do this stuff.
Yeah.
But that last one, that was him directly responding to Microsoft.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I mean, Jack
knows how to please a crowd, just maybe not a board meeting.
So Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy Versus had significant applause, like even leaked in over their shit. Like, because they have what are they called, like cutoff valves, essentially equivalent on their audio processors. So in most cases, crowd noise isn't loud enough to be heard by the people on the stream. But in this case, the crowd noise was loud enough that in Versus and Kingdom Hearts, you could hear them, which is crazy. But in terms of the freaking used game announcement and the no online announcement and all that shit, everyone had to pause. Like, Jack Tretton was only speaking like a sentence at a time, because after every statement, the entire crowd went wild. There were people standing up in their seats. Just
giant smile on his face.
You could hear it in his voice that he was excited.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You can hear people in the back. The chanting Sony.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was an E3 moment. It was as if they'd finally made up for $599. This is like the exact opposite of $599.
Well, and then it was incredibly smart of them to lay all of this out here, mm-hmm. get everyone just fucking pumped and cheering.
Yeah.
So that when the news came around that you had to pay for online,
yep.
everyone was just kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, like, here's two sides of the coin.
Not much.
Mm-hmm. One is he basically set up the good things about the PlayStation Plus. Like, mm-hmm. hey, we have like hundreds of indie games. Mm-hmm. If you get it right off the bat, you're going to get these three indie games. Like, Don't Starve. It's already a big hit on the PC side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's $5 a month sort of thing.
Less than $5 a month, so $4.99. $60 a year.
You get a club. At launch.
Yeah, they're continuing the Plus program. You're not getting it at launch, but in 2014, you're getting Drive Club, and you're getting Don't Starve, and you're getting one of the games. Was it launch?
Drive Club was the three were at some point in the next year.
Right. So
you drive club, you would have that at launch.
So they're continuing their PlayStation Plus strategy into next gen. Current PS Plus subscribers like myself, they'll extend into next gen. So everything's essentially pretty cool there. I don't know what the overall reaction will be to the $6 a month paywall behind online.
Well, it makes sense because it was going to go one way or the other. Either right. Microsoft was going to cave and they were going to make it free to mm-hmm. play online, or Sony was going to start charging for it. And let's be real here, given how Microsoft has gone this generation, mm-hmm. they weren't going to cave.
Clearly. Yeah. So it is only $5.99 a month. Is that
it's $4.99 a month? I think.
$4.99.
Yeah. Okay. $60 a year. $60 a year.
That is, yeah, and that is nothing compared to if you do Netflix. I mean, you get to watch mm-hmm. free movies, free games.
Yeah.
I mean, even with this,
when you get free games, you get all the other features that obviously come with PlayStation Plus, which I've been enjoying for quite a while now. You'll be getting them too. I'm still not sure. I'm still not sold on it. But I guess if you think about it, what they're essentially doing is subsidizing without having to subsidize on paper. Because they're pretty much, that was, I think this kind of enabled them to go $3.99, if that's the case. Because that makes perfect sense.
I mean, I would agree.
Yeah.
I have to head out. So can I say my final thing?
Sure, go ahead.
I have some notes here that I need to go over.
Absolutely.
Let's see. The Thunderlord. That was a big moment for me.
No. Hashtag the shut up and get behind me.
That was good. Yes. That was good. That was solid.
Destiny looked cool. I hope the game comes to PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Eventually. And overall, if I had to give it a letter grade, a pretty solid A+.
Yeah, you can't. 10 out of 10, man. 10 out of 10. You can't. At this stage. Let's go
with the 9.9 out of 10.
You cannot. Like, that was almost pitch perfect. Like, technical issue aside.
For now, it's a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
If the servers have issues a few days after launch and they have to disable cheese speed, might need to knock the score down.
Agreed.
Because of cloud computing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God, Polygon's. Okay, on another note, Polygon's a fucking joke. Okay, I'm out.
I'm done with Polygon as well. See you, man. So.
No, like, it's almost like they're taking like this Steam style, like the Valve approach mm-hmm. to, rather than force these things down your throat.
Yeah.
Like, we know you guys don't like it, so we're going to offer a better service. Like, I think they'll make a better stand
mm-hmm.
of just offering, like, digital download day one.
Yeah.
Like, you can get this through us instead.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully have a better security system on there, like, the console than last generation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just unforgivable having, you know, credit card information down for that long.
Fair. And beyond that, it's PS Plus, and they've announced that that same PS Plus subscription will apply to PS3 and Vita as well. So just for the straight up $4.99 a month, you're getting free games on PS3, Vita, and PS4. And you're getting, on PS3, you're getting shit like order updates and all that kind of shit. And in Vita, once you get PS Plus, that's essentially all you need in terms of games, because pretty much every game you want is on PS Plus.
I just want to really quick put it this way. I am at the point where I want to buy a Vita when I get my PS4 just to play the games that either come free mm-hmm. or that interact with the Vita.
Yeah.
There is no fucking way I want to buy a Windows phone just to have smart glass to interact.
You could buy a Surface.
No, I don't want to, though. That's the point. It's more enticing for a Vita to interact with the system
mm-hmm.
than it is a phone, even or a pad, a tablet to do so. Man. For me, I mean, that's saying something.
It's there was a statement when the hashtag PS4 no DRM campaign started, which I was a part of happily, and I'm going to say maybe I had a small part, not much, but me and like the 15,000 other people who did that campaign, apparently we may have had an effect, if the insiders are correct. And when we did that, someone wrote up like a treatise on the no PS4 or PS4NoDRM.com website, and that essentially says the best way to convince people to move towards the digital future isn't to take their rights away, but to give them really good incentives to move. Like, go with the carrot, not the stick. Give them shit they want on another platform. Give them net functionality they want, and then they'll come to you with their net. And that's essentially what they did.
I like how we have the same like mindset. Mm-hmm. You just use a more like animalistic thing of like, oh, it's carrot. I'm going to beat you with a stick. Where I'm like, Valve and offering good services instead of piracy.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. I mean, essentially, it's don't whip the horse. Mm-hmm. Make the horse happy with a carrot.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but know. I just don't like being compared to being a horse. I mean, not when it comes to that.
So then we had, so after those pretty much megatons, almost incomparable over the last couple of years, probably some of the biggest news in gaming for quite a long time just happened there. Destiny was shown, and that game looks pretty damn good, I think.
Yeah,
I think that was pretty cool. It's a multi-platform game, yeah. But it looks sharp. It was running at a good frame rate. I think they already confirmed 60. We've had AA on everything. That's my like my bullet point. Does it have AA? Yes, checkpoints. So it has AA, the lighting was nice.
The atmosphere, the whole, like, this very first thing I saw, I was like, atmosphere is really good.
Yeah.
I just realized they're able to take the artistic thing that, like, with making those Halo games, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be on Halo. It can be, like, Earth-looking stuff.
Yeah. And not only that, they said it was Russia, right? So it was on Earth, yeah.
Yeah.
And they took the cutscenes from Halo and really made it more of a, you know, in-game, in-engine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
playable experience, which I enjoyed because I loved Halo. I loved the cutscenes and mm-hmm. the emotion that they provided, and they really did a good job of expressing that in the small gameplay that they did.
It was kind of like a Valve-esque thing, like when you had the Observer, or whatever it was that you could summon. Instead of doing a cutscene where he flew around the environment and lit everything, he was just doing that in real time, like Valve does, has done for a long time in their games. He's flying around in real time, and you can watch him if you want to, or you don't have to, and then he turned on the lights. Like stuff like that is like that's immersive in a way that cutscenes obviously can't be. And it's good to see that Bungie is progressing forward with how they've been making games, which is good. But in general, yeah, it reminded me a lot of Mass Effect multiplayer because the class-based kind of thing and some of the effects even looked similar. They showed loot. I guess that's a thing. I've never really played a loot-based shooter aside from Borderlands, and
it seems like my analogy for it was it's the instance mission stuff like Guild Wars 1.
Yeah.
Plus the big event stuff of Guild Wars 2 mm-hmm. meets Halo shooter stuff. So it's like Borderlands, but not as crazy.
Meets a 60 FPS shooter.
So yeah, I was getting a very Borderlands kind of vibe to the way that game kind of played.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it looks like it's just all co-op. Have they mentioned any PvP in it or like any, like, oh, like, apart from
that, I'm not sure.
The matches here and do PvP.
No idea. It's a Bungie game, so I'm assuming there will be PvP, but they announced it for, 2014? So it's definitely looking to be... knowing how they have approached their stupid long-haul release strategy with freaking 8 events so far that they've been at, of which they've shown, like, screenshots and shit, and only now have they been fucking showing us gameplay at all. I'm assuming we'll find out more as we get closer to release. It's fucking Bungie. Anyway.
I do have a note... This seems funner than the division, whatever that game was.
I disagree, but okay.
And, well, no. I also have a note. Cynic and Durin will be cross.
Yep. Sure. Sure.
They both look good for different reasons.
Entirely different reasons. I'm entirely with Durin.
This looks more appealing to me than the other game.
Sure. So then Gaikai was shown, and they clarified. So they essentially a lot of the criticism was. Sure, Gaikai, but that's all pie in the sky. We have no idea if they'll ever work. And so they actually went up on stage and straight up clarified that we know this is difficult to do, but we will guarantee that for select like really good or like high critically acclaimed titles, it'll be working in 2014 in the US on PS3 and PS4, coming to Vita soon, and then we'll expand from there. And that's fair. That's pretty much what I expected it to be. And the fact that they gave it a defined time is a good move. Any thoughts on that? You have to see it working, right?
But like, it's basically, Gaikai is cool, but not a big seller because not everyone has perfect internet.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's don't get me wrong, it's cool.
Nah, yeah, that's pretty much my stance as well. It's not coming to Australia anytime soon, I bet you. But whatever, it looks cool.
Yeah, I miss the Gaikai stuff. I mean, as soon as they started talking about cloud computing, I wouldn't take care of some business. needed to
exactly
because for me, cloud computing is kind of like okay, anybody can do cloud computing. It's mm-hmm. a very generic term.
Yeah.
And I feel that any big company can do it well,
at this point, if they put their mind to it, Sony, Microsoft, and any big company.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about that. So I just kind of like took my hiatus at that point from that.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, it's going to be decent regardless of what they decide.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, it was straight up, they transitioned from Gaikai straight up into, hey, motherfuckers, 399, 399 yeah. euro, oh. 349 pounds.
GG. I was hoping didn't get that conversion right,
but it almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, it's
they it's less.
Exactly. It's yeah. less than yeah. Microsoft by £100, which is like $140, and $100, obviously, in the 100 euro. So you just, yeah, it's GG. Like, it was a GG move. Like, the entire chat was just filled with people just typing GG, enter. It was just, yeah, it was incredible. It was, like, it was awesome.
There's several sections in my notes here before the announcement was made that's like, end it with $399 if you and you've won.
And
just getting more and more impressed.
It was and they typed it off with like a spiel standing there going, yeah, we understand that we have to support consumers and our relationship is really important, and that's how they ended the conference. And that was like, damn, son. Damn, yeah, son. I mean,
they had their ideals in place, and mm-hmm. they knew where they wanted to place them. And yep. they did a very good job of doing that.
Yep.
This almost feels like people have said, like, the reason why Apple and iPods have caught on so much mm-hmm. is because like other companies, like let's say Xbox or something, will try and sell you like the service and the idea behind it.
Right.
Sony is selling like the feeling behind it, almost like this. There's the outer part of the brain, which is like, you know,
logical,
logic, and all that.
Yeah.
But the inner part of the brain is feeling, and that's what, like, you know, Apple, you know, tends to sort of direct onto their consumers.
It's how like all this the early like, Apple successes happened. So
yeah, and like this seems like Sony is like, yo, we're trying to go, like, this is what, we can't put it in words, but this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah, very, very similar to when you were stating that Apple, you know, very similar to how, like, right now, if you have iTunes Match and mm-hmm. you pay the $24 a year for it, you get iRadio free, essentially ad-free.
Mm.
And that's what they stated today. So it's very much consumer-based. That, hey, if you're already paying for this, we're going to give you this for free.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel that Sony has done. You know, if you're already paying for the Sony PlayStation Network, mm-hmm. then, hey, it transfers over. We're mm-hmm. not going to charge you any extra. And you still get free games for yeah. your PSP, for your PlayStation and your Vita.
Yeah.
You know, it's a win-win for everybody involved.
And they confirmed, like, a AAA game, Drive Club, something they've been harping on and looks pretty great. Like, graphically looks amazing. Straight up free PlayStation Plus in 2014, and that's just that's some impressive shit. And you can tell that we all kind of agree with how impressive it was, because it only taken an hour to go over a 2-hour press conference, which is like a quarter of the time we usually take with this kind of stuff. man, so grades, I guess I'm 10 out of 10. I can't. That was perfect. It was pitch perfect.
I will go with the, like, you know, the Matthew Rory way of not actually giving direct uh-huh. scores of just 10 adorable puppies.
Yep, sure, absolutely. Squiddle.
But I will also say this will probably not catch on,
mm-hmm.
but you guys remember Xbox Go Home?
Yep.
This is Sony Come Home.
Aw.
Very nice.
Aw.
Very nice.
Squiddle, any...
I will give it a giant bomb 4 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
Just for any issues that they have during launch, 4 out of 5 is not bad. We'll sure. still play.
Sure.
But you don't know what the future holds, so mm-hmm. that's what I'm going to hold to.
Cool. That's fair. Durin.
I'm going to have to probably say an 8.8.
I hate you. I hate you so much. fucking polygon.com bullshit right here. Fucking walking out right now.
No, 8.8 was the Twilight Princess.
Was it?
Jeff's Twilight Princess.
Okay. I missed that shit. Okay, yeah. Cool. So, yeah.
Damn it. I mean, like, 10 out of 10 would be no, like, you know, no multiplayer restriction and $1.99.
Yeah. Like, that's
10 out of 10 is unbelievable. Nothing can top this.
Like, I understand why they did it, but it is a little unfortunate that you do mm-hmm. have to pay for PlayStation Plus to play
yep.
the player.
I definitely
They didn't show... I don't feel like they showed as compelling a game library as they could have.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that Microsoft in some ways one upped them a bit on that.
I think mainly Ubisoft holding back Division for their press conference kind of robbed what Sony. If Sony had shown off Division, that could have been really interesting. But
All that aside, I would say, I mean, they didn't really fuck anything up. It was more so just like, oh, they could have done this, and they could have really done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say easy 9.
Yeah, there you go. So, and with that, you want to have anything else to say about day one? The Division looked cool. I want to say that Conrad or Thurbleton wasn't particularly impressed, but I thought it looked absolutely next-gen as fuck.
It looks like an awesome game. I just don't like it being associated with Tom Clancy.
Sure.
I could give you that.
Yeah.
I have one more thing to add to this entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Wait, are we doing day one recap?
We can, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's...
Oh, yeah, you guys went here for me and Duran talking about Microsoft. You guys want to record that tomorrow? Do you after Nintendo? So then we can actually get it all in conversation.
I would rather, because I had not watched the Nintendo one yet.
But yeah.
I would like... seriously drill them
based on
right? I think it's cool. You guys can, we'll add it on after a break. You guys will go back in time and do the EA podcast that is just Duran and Cynic.
And it's only we've only done a Microsoft one. We didn't find anything in EA particularly.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay, it was just Microsoft.
I really just
Mirror's Edge 2, awesome. Battlefield, I love that they're it's Battlefield 4 the name,
mm-hmm.
but it's Bad Company the game. I mean, like, it's tons of people, tons of vehicles, a big multiplayer map.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Battlefield is. Stop trying to copy Call of Duty. Just be the game that we love.
Right. Yeah. And Mirror's Edge.
Give me 64 player map.
Holy shit, the Mirror's Edge look good.
I am glad that Mirror's Edge IP is living on and breathing new life into itself.
Yeah.
And
Star Wars Battlefront, guys.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a name, but...
But at least we know that something is maybe possibly going to happen with that.
Yep. 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 It was a pretty eventful first day, but we'll probably do a full recap to when we record. Well, you guys will not hear any difference, you guys, listeners at home. But for us, it'll be tomorrow after we've seen Nintendo. So we'll have a good, like, full recap there. So thanks for listening for this segment. I've already decided how I'm going to piece this out, so it's going to be like segment. It'll be Microsoft, Sony, then our overall recap, which we'll record tomorrow, but you listeners won't hear any different, so check you out in like 30 seconds. And with that, I'm cutting back into my post show. I'm not sure if you can tell when I'm cutting in and cutting out here. I'll probably put music in whatever. So those were our two reaction sets. We didn't post reactions to Ubisoft and EA because, yeah, we were planning to have a post show today and Nintendo. We weren't able to have reactions for those because scheduling fell through and all that kind of stuff. Just because I'll rap here by myself about it. I thought EA looked pretty boring until they showed Mirror's Edge and Battlefield 4. Battlefield 4 is probably the most impressive in terms of just pure tech of the multiplayer games I've seen. It looks fantastic. Just the collapse of that building, all that kind of stuff, just looks amazing. Battlefield 4, yeah, the 64 player multiplayer, like. Playing on PCs, which pretty much just ensures that PC is still the best way to play that game, obviously, as it would be with most shooters. Battlefield 4 looks really cool. It looks really, really damn cool. The clear standout for both me and Shinboy, and I think most of the guys, definitely Thurbleton, I think it was, Mirror's Edge, man. Mirror's Edge looked absolutely stunning running in Frostbite 3. It's a reboot, which is odd, I guess, but that kind of means that I don't have to worry about going back and playing the original Mirror's Edge anymore. It's not that I don't want to, but that I just have such a huge back catalog as it is. I'm happy to find reasons to not play games, to be honest. I still have Dust and Legion to be able to play, for fuck's sake. The Mirror's Edge was the standout for EA, for EA, sorry. For Ubisoft, just fuck it. The Division looks amazing. I showed it to Squiddle today because he wasn't able to catch it live, and that guy was just floored. Yeah, talk about games that look next-gen or give me a reason to invest in next-gen. The Division is a huge example. Cowboy from Naughty Dog was on Giant Bomb today in their Bombcast. He pretty much mirrors our reactions in that. There's the things that were going on, the things that this generation, a developer would focus on and say, this is the thing we're going all the way into for our game. That game pretty much took all those like individual things and just did it all at the same time, all running in real time on the PS4, and just like blew pretty much everything current gen out of the water. Like it's doing animations which are just amazing. Like if you see the main character as he walks past, like he was crouching in cover behind a car, and as he walks past the door of the car, which is slightly ajar. Sorry, there's people outside moving shit. Those bastards, fucking middle of the night, come on guys. So if you're walking past, while he's like walking along the cover past the car, he closes the door to move past it and shit like that. It's just when bullets are shooting, like they're making holes in the window, and there's two bullet holes next to one another, they form one bullet hole because the cracks conjoin and so on and so forth. Like just the visual fidelity and animation fidelity, but then you add that to the UI advancements. Like the UI in that game is so impressive. It is really very reminiscent of Watch Dogs and our collective thoughts on that is that it seems as if there is like a UI team at Ubisoft who kind of just work on all their UIs because there are a lot of similarities there. So I definitely see like some cross-pollination resulting in the really cool UI as demonstrated in The Division. The Division is my second favorite game, this E3, in terms of just how impressive it is. Still, Metal Gear Solid 5 being number one. I'm call me a crazy person. I've become a fanboy all over game for the Metal Gear series. I wasn't expecting it to win me back over, but it did. So that was those two press conferences. The Watch Dogs event from Ubisoft was just the trailer. Sony's where they really blew that out, and it looks great. Beyond that, yeah, the DualShock 5. The DualShock 4. Reactions from that around the net have been pretty great. Just really great. Like just speaking about Sony again for a second here, because I'm talking about Watch Dogs. The reactions would be really positive. Like it sounds like they've fixed everything wrong with it. IGN is claiming it's better than the 360 controller. I will believe that when I put my hands on it. Until then, I'm just going to say sure. Say what you want to say. It seems bigger. The sticks are tight. The triggers are fixed. By pretty much all accounts. The fact that it's heavier, it feels better in your hands by all accounts. How big and weirdly huge the grips on that is, because if you look at it, DualShock had like really short grips, which are really good for people with small hands. But the DualShock 4 has really long grips, and it sounds like those grips are like rubberized-ish in the bottom, and they just feel really nice when you hold them, by all accounts. Again, I can't wait to put my own hands on it. That sounds awesome. But yes, moving on to Nintendo, which was this morning, I think fan reactions to that, because again, I'm gauging something I don't really care about, so I've consistently been pretty upfront in saying I'm not a Nintendo guy. Durin's probably the Nintendo guy of the group, but he's not here. And Squiddle doesn't mind them either. But by gauging by fan reactions to that, they kind of align to what my reactions were, which is, so I'm confident in saying. The new Mario looks like more 3D Mario. The Smash Brothers looks like freaking HD Smash Brothers, which I guess is more exciting than the 3D Mario to me. Some people seem really happy with 3D Mario, but whatever. We already knew that was coming. We already knew Smash was coming. The biggest response to this Nintendo press event, Direct, because there was no press there, obviously. This Nintendo Direct was the extreme lack of surprises, which I guess makes sense. Like at this point, some people are looking for a Hail Mary pass for the Wii U, and for the majority of people, I don't think they saw it come. They didn't see it here, especially with the fact that none of these like new announcements were given a release date at all. Like they were just saying, "Hey, we're working on this. Here's some footage. Be happy, Nintendo fans." And a lot of Nintendo fans will be. There's like I'm guessing by the sales of the GameCube that there's around 20 million of them out there. So hey, if you're a Nintendo fan, great. But the standout showstoppers of that conference were X, which looks awesome by all accounts, and I think it looks pretty cool myself. The people who say it looks comparable to graphics on the PS4 and 7 on the Xbox One are crazy people. It looks good. Live with that. Deal with that. It does not look next gen, but it looks excellent. Gameplay wise, I'd yeah, sure. What that represents seems fun. Again, but you'll have to. I'm going to wait for reviews on X. I'm just going to say here now. X will have to convince me via people who know what the fuck they're talking about telling me about it. So X was the standout. Bayonetta 2 looked like Bayonetta, which is what fans want. So that's great. And that's essentially E3 day one. Bunch of just small bits of news outside this press conference, but beyond that, it just seemed like the industry is back to running how it used to be running, but with more games. Like there's been freaking more. I've been more impressed by games this E3 than I have in a very long time. Especially all this next gen stuff. All the next gen games look really great. The fact that they look, a lot of them look as good as a game running on a really high end PC today. But you're getting those boxes for $400 and $500 respectively for the PS4 and Xbox One. That's why we console game. That's why people like me console game, because my PC cannot run games that well. And of course, I'm running a pretty old PC by today's standards, but I can run BioShock Infinite on medium high settings, which has been enough for me for the last couple of years. But having something in my home that can run games that look that good is going to be fun again. So, I'm really happy. This E3 seems awesome. We're going to be doing another recording at the end of the week, hopefully this time with the whole crew, including Duren. And we'll be doing a whole wrap-up for E3 from everything we've like absorbed from the various media sources out there and our reactions to it. But those were my reactions so far. I'm fucking pumped. I haven't been able to pre-order a PS4 yet because I might be moving before that comes out, and I don't know how that'll work. We will see. But I'm totally already sold on a PS4. Xbox One has sold me on their games, but they're going to have to change their policies before I even consider picking it up. The Wii U is still the Wii U, and fucking the winners of E3 are people who like games, because there's so many good games here. So many of them are coming to PC. So you PC gamer master race bastards out there like Extreme Boy are going to have a really great time, because the thing we promised before in previous podcasts with the new consoles increasing the baseline performance capabilities for PC games going forward has totally come true. Because if these games are representative of the minimum performance on games going forward, that is awesome in terms of graphics, and we already know that most high-end PC cards out there nowadays are significantly more powerful in themselves than the entirety of the PS4. Obviously console games work differently than PC, but yeah, PC gaming master race, you guys are definitely getting a lot from this E3. By my part, I am incredibly excited for the PS4. So yeah, those are my reactions from day one. See you at the end of the week.